Win fast, win often.
The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's left channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Hartley Carnes. 40 years is a long time to wait for the wheels of justice to get some traction.
I didn't cry.
Thelma Collins, like Thomas More, are shocked and pleased that murder charges are finally being brought against a suspect in the murders of their brothers, Henry D. and Charlie Moore, said Thomas More.
Mississippi cold case can be solved. There can be justice.
D. and Moore were murdered in 1964, Mississippi. An old KKK member now faces charges in that case.
71-year-old James Steele looked pale, old, and feeble. He was weighted down by chains draped around his waist, his hands, and feet. His wife and brother sat in the courtroom. They listened intently as the alleged former Klansman pleaded not guilty.
CBS's Donna Francovilla tells us bail hearing is Monday morning. Fewer women in America are getting mammograms these days, and that's not good. Dr. Clifford Huddis at Sloan Kettering says do the self-test. Get the mammograms.
Mammograms have been associated with a decline in the risk of developing advanced breast cancer and a decline in the risk of dying of breast cancer. It's one of the most effective screening tests for cancer ever developed.
Ford announces losses in the past year of nearly $13 billion, but most of it, about $10 billion, due to steps taken to shrink the company. More than half the workers were bought out.
Really, really praying for the company. It's not good for the whole country if Ford doesn't make it. It's not good when a big corporation like that goes under. It's not good for anybody.
Beverly Sayer works for Ford in Dearborn. Ford has not and is not expected to go under. Just one of the tricks credit card companies use to push the price of their money up on consumers. CBS's Howard Arenstein on today's Capitol Hill hearing.
It's called universal default. A credit card company penalizes you for late payments to other accounts. Carter Frankie said her company doesn't do it.
A missed payment on a non-Chase card does not result in any automatic repricing of a Chase account.
But Travis Plunkett of the Consumer Federation of America told senators that consumers are easily fooled.
People don't shop around based on an assumption that they're going to make a payment a day late.
But when they do, higher rates and penalty fees can often kick in. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The family of the woman who drank herself to death with water is suing the Sacramento radio station that held the water drinking contest, claiming the DJs knew that too much water could be toxic and even made jokes about it on the air. Nina Hulst is Jennifer Strange's mother.
I would like to see them held accountable for their actions.
Those connected to the contest have already been fired, the family suing for wrongful death and big damages. Wall Street, the Dow lost 119 points today, the Nasdaq off 32 points. Oil prices, $54.23 a barrel, down $1.14. This is CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox. Unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
The Scooter Libby perjury trial puts more top-level administration insiders on the stand in the CIA blown cover case.
An inside look at the intense effort to discredit former Ambassador Joseph Wilson's allegations that pre-Iraq War intelligence had been manipulated. One-time Cheney press aide Kathy Martin says the vice president told her to use classified information to counter Wilson's claim that Saddam Hussein had never tried obtaining uranium from Africa. That was about a week before Wilson's wife, a CIA officer, was outed. Martin testified she personally had told both Cheney and Libby Valerie Plame Wilson worked at the CIA.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. This is what it sounded like, actually, when actress Nicole Kidman crashed in a Jaguar on the set of a movie today. She was in one of those camera-rigged cars being towed through Los Angeles, shooting a science fiction thriller, towed her and the Jag right into a light pole. She's okay, don't worry. Checked out at Cedars-Sinai. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I think your goddess forgot to turn on one of her controls here. We thought we had an emergency, but we don't. Oh, that's good, because it's Thursday, and Thursday means we're getting closer to Friday. And I just want to let you know that we have all kinds of juicy stuff for you today. There's stuff on the Libby trial, and there is a fallout yet from the State of the Union address. There's all kinds of stuff, and it's a train. Enid Live is like a flea market of ideas. It is a train. You just got to jump on it, and there are lots of things that I want to talk about today. So the way that we do that, the way we can communicate with each other, lots of ways. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. Or you can call me, and calling me is always the best way because it makes for a much better conversation all the way around. And I've noticed that a lot of people have been calling in lately who are first-time callers, so let me urge you to do it. If we move along very briskly, never, never, never take that personally. We just, you know, when you do talk radio, there are certain kind of exigencies that the show demands, and so if you feel like we have moved too briskly for your taste, you can always call us back another day. The rule is once a day, unless we're doing something special like we did State of the Union. We really solicited your calls and your takes on the addresses, on the speeches afterward, but our rule is once a day. Otherwise, people will monopolize the lines, and we want to have as many new people as possible calling in. So never take it personally if you're a little bit nervous calling in. I would be very nervous if I were calling you. So it's just part of the territory. You'll get over it very quickly. We would love to hear your takes on things. It could affect the dialogue, actually. It could make us smile. It could give us a new perspective. In every way, it makes for a richer conversation when more of us participate. And Mondays through Fridays, 3 to 7, what is happening in Sacramento is that this is becoming a really marvelous place for us to get together and to hash things out. So if you're in the 916 area code, and remember, it doesn't cost you a thing to call. It is completely one of the last. They say there's no free lunch. Well, there is definitely a free phone call here. If you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, write it down, 349-1320. And if you're not, it's 866-626-1320. 866-626-1320. And, of course, all those 1320s, that's where you want to have your presets on your car, in your car, at home, everywhere that you are, And if you stay with us all day long, starting your day with Scott and Sims in the Morning Retort and Air America and Randy and Al Franken and John Elliott and everybody who's on Air America Radio, and then me at 3, you're going to have, I think, a wonderful day of listening to talk radio. Let me begin a couple of things. First of all, I didn't get to this yesterday, but the Grey's Anatomy star, Isaiah Washington, who has, of course, called used the faggot term to refer to a fellow actor on. So what do you do? You've got a hit show. Disney's got a hit show here. They got to do something. They have to discipline some way. So what are they going to do? Ah, taking a page out of the Mark Foley book of human behavior and the Bob Ney book of human behavior and all these people. Then what, the minute anything comes down, what do? They check themselves into rehab. I wish it were that easy. So Isaiah Washington was headed for rehab. Well, not drug rehab, apparently, but psychiatric rehab. Well, okay, I like that. I may have to check myself in to get rehabbed in one way or another. But where would they start and when would they finish? And, you know, who knows how long it would take forever, the rest of my life. I want to share with you, as many of you know, I collect obituaries. And I wanted to share with you an obituary, which if I can find it in the pile here, was the obituary of Howard Hunt, who died at the age of 88 a couple of days ago. He was involved in Watergate. He was one of the burglars in Watergate, botched Watergate break-in attempt. And I think was hauled off to the pokey because of it, and he died at the age of 88. I like obituaries because they tell you, it's like reading a little mini biography of somebody, and you get to see the arc of somebody's life. But what I particularly liked, what found interesting about this obituary of Howard Hunt, and I really did not know a lot about him, but it just struck me that he sounded like a lot of people we all know. And here's the way they described him. He was intelligent. He worked for the CIA eventually. Howard Hunt, New York Times is saying, was intelligent, erudite, suave. Now that is an adjective. You do not hear it applied to too many people anymore. Suave and loyal to his friends. But the record shows that he mishandled many of the tasks he received from the CIA and the White House. He was, quote, totally self-absorbed, totally amoral, and a danger to himself and anyone around him, according to a retired U.S. ambassador who first met him in Uruguay in the late 1950s. As far as I could tell, Howard went from one disaster to another, said that retired ambassador, until he hit Watergate, which was, of course, a huge disaster, and got him hauled off to the pokey. He retired, ultimately, from the CIA later in life. But here's what's amazing, that he was so inept, that he was so incompetent, that his whole career, that he had these qualities, and in almost like a mini Cary Grant, the way they described him, that he was intelligent, erudite, suave, and loyal to his friends. But at the same time, he was described as totally self-absorbed, totally amoral, and a danger to himself and anybody around him. And he bungled every single task practically that he took on from the CIA, until it finally led him to Watergate. But as this retired ambassador who first met Howard Hunt in Uruguay in the 50s said, Howard went from one disaster to another. Here is my question. How did he keep his job? We have all met a lot of Howards in our lives. People who are just as inept as Howard. People who were, you know, great at schmoozing, great at managing upward, great at handling their bosses, dressed well, suave. They were suave. Nobody's suave anymore. Everybody looks like a slob, but he was suave. And he had manners, which nobody else has anymore either. We're not writing thank you notes. And if you say thank you, nobody says you're welcome. They always say no problem. Notice that? No problem. No problema. No problem. Okay. So here is Howard Hunt. He was all of these things, but he was also completely self-absorbed, completely amoral, a danger to himself and anybody around him. He lurched from one disaster to another. Every task he was given, apparently by the CIA, or most of them, he bungled badly, culminating finally in Watergate. And he manages to keep his job, and he manages to limp along to be 88 years old, a man who was entrusted with too many secret missions, and they kept giving him more secret missions. Do you work with people like that? Have you met people like that? I just was very taken because I know people like that. They don't do anything very well. They are not very competent. Some people are really gifted at schmoozing, and they're sort of good salesmen and women. so that they put over an idea of who they would like to be seen as, which is quite at odds with who they really are and what they can really accomplish. And I guess people are looking for the sizzle a lot of the time rather than the steak. I think a lot of times people are hired because they make the people who have hired them comfortable, feel comfortable. And I think when people are hiring, they tend to hire people in their comfort zones. Even if these people aren't particularly good producers, even if they're not all that competent, even if they don't do the job well, this guy, this Howard Hunt, must have had that gift with his superiors because they never threw him out of the CIA, I don't think. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. I want to share with you some fallout from yesterday's show that and the day before. We've been talking a lot about Dick Cheney, and I have new information about Dick Cheney that I want to share with you. I want to talk about the Scooter Libby trial. I want to talk about how Alberto Gonzalez doesn't believe that we are entitled to habeas corpus or that some of us are not entitled to habeas corpus, a foundation of our legal system. But remember Liz Cheney, the straight daughter, not the gay daughter, of Dick Cheney, had a piece, an op-ed piece, a day of the State of the Union address in the Washington Post, talking about how, you know, you should stay the course and that we need to make sacrifices and we need to go full steam ahead, etc. Well, Larissa Alexandrovna, writing in the Huffington Post, shed some light on this particular daughter, this daughter, Lizzie Cheney, that I think is worth looking into. It turns out, you know, she wants us to continue to be in Iraq, that Hillary doesn't have enough spine, that guys like Chuck Hagel are ready to race the Democrats to the bottom, and that, you know, and that we are at war and we face this threat and we've got to stay the course, essentially. So here is what Larissa is saying. She says, America's facing a threat, she tells us, something we too know quite well. No one in the Cheney family has had to sacrifice anything to this war, but they sure have profited from this war. A few facts missing from Liz Cheney's own courage. Whatever the rationale for the invasion of Iraq, business is booming. Not long after Bush took office, Lockheed Martin's revenues soared by more than 30%. As it was awarded a $17 billion in contracts from the Department of Defense, a far cry from the lean years of the Clinton administration. Under Clinton, Lockheed Martin had only about $2 billion in contracts. Recently, Bush called for 125 new nukes a year, opening up new contract horizons in that area as well. Lockheed Martin's stock went from 16 bucks a share, roughly, in 1999 to 71.5 dollars as of June 2002. So in 3 years, that stock has what? Six or seven times in value. Lockheed Martin reported 2002 sales of $26.6 billion, a backlog of more than $70 billion, free cash of $1.7 billion, and that was before the war in Iraq. Well, why are we so interested in Lockheed Martin? Dick Cheney's son-in-law, Philip J. Perry, the husband of Liz Cheney, is a registered Lockheed lobbyist who had, while working for a law firm, represented Lockheed with the Department of Homeland Security, had been nominated by Bush to serve as general counsel to the Department of Homeland Security. His wife, Liz Cheney, serves as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Middle Eastern Affairs. Vice President Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, had, until her husband took office, served on the board of Lockheed Martin, receiving deferred compensation in the form of $500,000 in stock and fees. Even President Bush himself has a Lockheed Martin connection. As governor of Texas, he had attempted to give Lockheed a multi-million-dollar contract to reform the state's welfare system. Lizzie wants us to sacrifice more, but Vice President Dick Cheney's stock options in Halliburton rose from 242,000 roughly in 2004 to over $8 million in 2005, an increase of more than 3,000% as Halliburton continues to rake in billions of dollars from no bid, no audit government contracts. No bid, no audit government contracts. As Halliburton's fortunes rise, according to Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat from New Jersey, so do the vice presidents. Halliburton has already taken in more than $10 billion billion dollars from the Bush-Cheney administration for work in Iraq. They were also awarded many of the unaccountable post-Katrina government contracts as offshore subsidiaries of Halliburton quietly worked around U.S. sanctions to conduct very questionable business with Iran. It is unseemly, notes Frank Lautenberg, for the vice president to continue to benefit from this company at the same time as this administration funnels billions of dollars into it. So he gets a deferred salary from Halliburton. Deferred compensation, and in 2001 it was about $205,000, in 2000, $262,000, 2003, $178,000, 2004, $194,000, and it goes on and on and on. Lockheed Martin, 349, 1320, 866, 626, 1320. So Liz Cheney, she wants everybody else to sacrifice. But the longer this war goes on, the more the Cheney family appears to profit from it. Matt, calling from El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, hi.
Hi, Matt.
You know, what you were describing, it struck me that that's the classic psychological description of a psychopath, right? Sociopath?
Sociopath, I would say. Well, right. Maybe even in his case a psychopath, but a sociopath, definitely.
Well, yeah, it depends on the kind of power they have. It becomes psychopath. But aren't people a little bit spooked that these people were in positions of power? I mean,
maybe there are a lot of maybe it's a prerequisite to have a position of power to be a sociopath.
Well, you know, that's what I was exactly thinking, is that this is why so many people that founded America were afraid of concentrating power, because the people who would get it would almost automatically be sociopaths, because that's the kind of people who want power over other people.
Well, have you ever worked with somebody who is sort of fits the Howard Hunt mold, somebody who was completely incompetent in the job, bungled every single thing, and still kept getting promoted, or at least didn't get fired?
Well, what's even scarier is the ones who are competent and are sociopaths. I mean, it's like Martin Luther King said, the scariest people on earth are educated sociopaths.
Of which this administration majors. They major in
anyway. So the other point is, you know, you were talking about the other stuff. What was the last thing you said?
The Cheney family is benefiting from the war.
Oh yeah. Anyway, so here's my point. I always wonder why nobody brings it up. What's the purpose of a conventional military when we have nuclear weapons? You know, the tanks, the planes.
You want to go right to nuclear? And it's nuclear. Matt, don't be like the president. Nuclear. New.
Okay. Well,
say clear, and say new.
If somebody invades America, which is our one right, is to defend America.
Matt, I'm going to make you say nuclear before we go any further. Because
you're biting off a lot here. Okay, let's give it a try.
Can you say new?
New.
Can you say clear?
Clear.
Nuclear.
Nuclear?
Yeah.
Ooh,
that wasn't hard.
To me, but okay. Probably where I was raised in Texas. Anyway, my point being, if we got invaded, which is the one right a nation has, is to protect its sovereign territory. It has no right outside that border. It really doesn't. And so if we're invaded, are we going to respond with a conventional army or weapons that will really wipe
out? Do we want to respond with nuclear weapons and start a war that will wipe out the Earth? Is that what you were suggesting?
I'm saying, would anybody try and say,
well, we don't even have first responders anyway. They're all over in Iraq, incarcerated for who knows how long.
Well, if we keep this up with the idea that we need this large armed force, then they will continue to use it in imperialist ways. I'm sorry to say it, but that's true.
I thank you for the call, 349-1320, and don't agree with you. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Well, thank you, Enid, and good afternoon. It is 322 North Sacramento. Already seen some slowing. Elkhorn Boulevard at Dry Creek Road. Looks like we have a fender bender that's blocking one lane. And an earlier traffic collision is in the clearing stages right now. That's westbound 80 to southbound 51. Your updated forecast could have some areas of frost tonight. A low of 32 degrees on Friday. High clouds with temperatures in the upper 50s to lower 60s and plenty of sunshine at least until Saturday. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Sal Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
In the world of
new rule, Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule. Stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gay exploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Funny. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo.
3:27 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays, Monday through Fridays on AM 1320, KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320, and it is a completely free phone call. And what we began with was this obituary for Howard Hunt, one of the original Watergate burglars who died at the age of 88 a couple of days ago. And the way they described him was as intelligent, erudite, suave, and loyal to his friends. but also totally self-absorbed, totally amoral, and a danger to himself and anybody around him. And he bungled every single assignment pretty much that he was ever given, culminating in the bungle of all time, Watergate. But he managed. My question is, how did he keep his job? And I just got an email from one of you, Brian, who said, just listening to you describe Howard Hunt in his obituary, I thought you were describing our president, George Bush. Dickie! Well, I don't think you'd ever describe Dickey as suave, exactly. And what we're also talking about is this piece on the Cheneys. You know, Liz Cheney wrote that piece, an op-ed piece in the Washington Post, the day of the State of the Union address, calling for all of us to sacrifice. As far as we know, the Cheney family hasn't sacrificed at all. They want us to sacrifice by continuing to support this ridiculous war in Iraq. But the Cheney family, the longer the war goes on, the more they profit. Lynn Cheney did sit on the board of Halliburton. She's taken deferred compensation in the form of $500,000 in stock and fees. The son-in-law had been a registered lobbyist for Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin's stock has gone up incredibly since in 3 years. It was selling for about $16 a share 3 years. Not 3 years ago. I'm off. In 1999, so 8 years ago, roughly, Lockheed Martin was selling for about $16 a share. 3 years later, it was at $71 a share. And I don't know what it is right now. You could check the stock market report and let me know what it's selling for right now. Halliburton has been making tremendous amounts of profit with the war in Iraq. These are no-bid, no-audit contracts. And the longer the war goes on, I think the more the Cheneys tend to stand to benefit. What are your thoughts about this? And what does Lizzie do for a living? Larissa is asking. Well, it turns out that she sure has a stellar collection of accomplishments. All of them are strangely related to each of her parents' business ventures. Until quite recently, Lizzie, when she went off to have her fifth child, she had a rather impressive title, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs at the State Department. It sounds like maybe she had a lot of expertise in Near Eastern affairs, but that would be a mistake. She hasn't really had much experience in Near Eastern affairs. Most of her resume consists of serving on committees and places where her mother was on the board or her father was. But during the last 15 months, and listen to this, because this is really interesting, Elizabeth Cheney has met with and bolstered a gaggle of Syrian exiles, often in tandem with John Hanna and David Wormser, top officials of the Office of the Vice President. She has pressed hard for money to accelerate the administration's ever more overt campaign for forced regime changes in both Damascus and Tehran, and has overseen an increasingly discredited push for American-inspired democratic reform from Morocco to Iran. Now, according to the Financial Times of London, Liz Cheney is coordinating the work of a new entity called the Iran-Syria Operations Group. That group was established to plot a more aggressive democracy promoting a democracy promotion strategy for these two, quote, rogue states, according to the Financial Times of London. In February, the State Department announced that Cheney would oversee a $5 million program to accelerate the work of reformers in Syria, and that was probably last year, providing grants of up to $1 million each to Syrian dissidents. So they're trying to promote democracy in these, quote, rogue states, just like they tried to do that in Iraq, and they're trying to do it sort of in an increasingly overt fashion, but it's been sort of through the back door. In the current fiscal year, Liz Cheney will oversee a similar $7 million regime change grant program for Iran, though funding for the effort is expected to grow to at least $85 million soon to include both a propaganda program and to support Iranian opposition groups, says a senior associate and co-director of a committee at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Liz Cheney came in knowing very little about the Middle East. She had a mandate to do democracy promotion, but she has had very little familiarity with the subject. They deliberately picked a person who was not a Middle East specialist so that the conventional wisdom, well, let me rephrase it, so that real, actual knowledge of the issues in the region would not interfere with policy. Does this sound familiar? Did this sound familiar? They remember what the Brits said about the administration when it came to going to war in Iraq? They fixed the policy around the fact, they fixed the facts around the policy. I forget how they said it, but in other words, they were determined to go to war, and so they fixed all the information around that to make it look like we had to go to war. And that is why it's so important to keep our eye on the Scooter Libby trial that is underway right now. Because Joe Wilson was one of the few voices willing to tell the truth about this administration and discredit the main reason they used to sell us on the war. And that was that Saddam Hussein would have nuclear weapons at his disposal. Remember, there'd be a mushroom cloud. We'd all be dead in 45 minutes. Remember that? Well, there were no weapons of mass destruction. And Joe Wilson, Ambassador Joseph Wilson, goes to Africa, goes to Niger. He finds out that, in fact, Iran or Iraq was not trying to buy uranium. They were not trying to buy yellow cake. This is all the product of forgeries, and they were very obvious and coarse forgeries. And he comes back, and he tries to tell the administration this, and they don't want to hear it. A, they already know it. B, they don't want it to get out because this has been, this will underpin one of the major tenets, the major reasons that the administration has used to sell us on the war and how we have to go to war. So Joe Wilson decided to take matters into his own hands. And if you will recall, he writes an op-ed piece that is published in the New York Times. It says there are no, Iraq was not trying to buy uranium in Niger. It's an obvious and coarse forgery, and there's nothing to it. And the administration goes crazy. They go ballistic. Dick Cheney is particularly obsessed with it, and he gets Scooter Libby, and they find out who Joe Wilson is and who his wife is, and that she is working at the CIA, and they deliberately go about letting the world know that his wife is an operative for the CIA. It turns out that she is an undercover operative for the CIA, and exposing her identity, I think, is a felony. Well, Scooter Libby, who was Dick Cheney's chief of staff and himself a distinguished and accomplished attorney, is now on trial, not for leaking her name, but for lying about it. It wasn't the crime, as we learned in Watergate. It was the cover-up. So they were fixing the facts around the policy that they had already decided, and that is what is happening here with Liz Cheney. They're doing exactly the same thing, only now it's about Iran and it is about Syria. They want to revisit Afghanistan. They were making noises about Iran. Now they're going to go back to the future and talk about Afghanistan. And Liz Cheney, who doesn't know anything about anything, she's got these great jobs. She keeps getting promoted because, well, I guess I don't know why. I'm scratching my head. Why does she get promoted? Could it be that she can manage upward? Could it be that her father's a vice president? Could it be that her mother's on all these boards and that's how she's gotten all of her major experience that forms her resume? Could it be? Anyway, the bottom line for Liz Cheney, who thinks we should stay the course because the longer we're in Iraq, the more money is racked up for Halliburton and Lockheed Martin and all those other big companies that they are all involved with. Elizabeth Cheney, in effect, runs a slush fund for terrorists, Islamic militants, and other such worthy characters in order to create regime change for her daddy's vision of the Middle East, and you and I and all of us are paying for it, some people paying for it with their lives. Would you like to comment? 349-1320. So it's a little background on why she writes this op-ed piece about how we have to stay the course. Is the Cheney family suffering any sort of sacrifice that you can see? I don't think so. And when Wolf Blitzer asks some tough questions of Dick Cheney, who was increasingly terse and defensive and defiant and insisting how successful we are in Iraq, when he asked about Mary Cheney and her pregnancy, and she's the gay daughter, and remember, this is a regime and administration that's big on family values and anti-gay everything, rhetoric, because they're going to pitch to their fundamentalists, the religious wrong, their base. Cheney got very bent out of shape. He wouldn't have been good in the service. He got so bent out of shape by a wussy question. The wussy question was, you know, what about your daughter and family values? And Cheney said, you're out of line. He said, you're out of line. What a monster. These people are monsters. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Well, thank you, Enid. It is 338 eastbound 50 just west of Manlove at Pocket. We have a car that is apparently off to one side and disabled. Also Auburn, non-injury collision eastbound I-80 just east of Riverside Avenue. Your updated forecast, 32 tonight for a low, maybe some frost early in the morning and warming up to near 60 in downtown Spokane. 56 in Elk Grove, should hit Elk Grove rather, Folsom 57, Lincoln right around 59.
Downtown
tomorrow.
Sacramento.
Downtown Sacramento.
Yes,
what did
too.
I say? Did I?
You said Spokane.
Did I? I'm sorry. Old
but
habits.
We knew that you meant Sacramento.
Thank you. Old habits die hard sometime.
It's probably nice in Spokane.
Well, it's about 32 there with some snow there. And right now, downtown Sacramento, it is 59 degrees. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Ever wonder why so many...
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready? New rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you got all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Well, we're talking about how the Cheneys want you to sacrifice so that they can continue to profit from this war, which they are doing because they're sitting on the boards of Lockheed Martin and Halliburton. These are no-bid, no-audit contracts. I mean, and Liz Cheney, she is doing something that we have not been too aware of. She really has brought attention to herself. She's essentially running a slush fund for terrorists, Islamic militants, under the auspices of the government. She keeps getting promoted to these assistant deputy principal junior titles, and her resume is completely concocted from her mother. And she comes in knowing nothing about the Middle East, which is the area she's supposed to be in charge of. They want people who don't know anything about anything. They want the biggest dopes to come in, everybody well-connected. There is a book out on the Green Zone. I think it's called The Emerald City, written by a Washington Post reporter whose name is pretty much unpronounceable. And what they talk about is when the Iraq War got underway, the only credential you had to have to go over there and profit from it was to be display Republican loyalty and to be well-connected. So people who are rich and whose kids gave, you know, people who are rich and well-connected to the party and who were loyal and gave lots of money, their kids or people they knew that they could recommend, they sent 21-year-olds just out of college to restart the Iraqi stock market. These kids didn't know anything. They don't even know, you know, the Velcro ties on your shoes now. They don't even know how to tie their shoelaces. This was the caliber. They squandered money. They made a botch of everything. They enriched themselves, and it helped to bring Iraq to the horrible place that it is now. And this went on constantly. And I think Liz Cheney is an example of this nepotism. I mean, how good can her genes be? She's bringing five people into the world when her father is a monster. 349-1320. Rosemary's Baby is all I can think about. Mark in Placerville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, my question is, and all these things that you're saying about the Cheneys,
yes.
How much proof is there? I mean, is it speculation? Is it?
No, this is hard information. There's no speculation. The information that I gave you was hard information.
And you got that from the company or the website?
No. A lot of investigative reporting that's gone on. Why? What is your point, Mark? What's the part that you're upset about?
Well, no, I just find it hard to believe that they're the only ones in this administration that's profiting from this.
I'm sure they're not the only ones, but certainly they're among the most prominent who are profiting from it. And they don't tell you to what extent that they are profiting from it. So how does this make you feel? I'm sure there are many, many more who are profiting from it. But this is a vice president. It's unseemly that they keep funneling these no-bid, no-audit contracts to Halliburton. He's still being paid by Halliburton. He's still getting deferred compensation from Halliburton. Do you think that paints the right picture? Perception is reality in politics? Is that the right way to go?
No, I don't agree with what's happening. I'm just curious on if it's and it's nothing personal, but if it's a spin or a way.
No, this is all hard information. So let's assume that everything I've told you is exactly as advertised. Then what? Then what's your thought?
I'm not impressed with what is going on, obviously, but I still...
Are you a big supporter of the administration? Have you been?
I am... And my question is...
Are you still a supporter of the war?
Yes, I am, 100%.
Why? Why, Mark?
Why? Because if we had a crystal ball, and I think Bush and the Republicans would go back and handle this differently, but no matter what, who's getting rich or what the situation is, we have a situation where you can't leave it the way it is. And you have to...
But you have a situation where they never went in with enough troops. They never went in with enough planning. Everybody knew that this could be a disaster. They didn't want to do it the right way. And what they do have on their hands now is a disaster. It would have been far better never to have gone in at all. Don't you think?
I look back now, and I agree with you. But that's not the situation now. And
But they knew that. That's the thing, Mark. You're making it sound like, well, we had the best of intentions, we had the best of planning, and we couldn't have known. Law of unintended consequences. We couldn't have known what happened. But they could know. They knew it. They massaged the intelligence. They knew there was no reason to go in. They were going to score political points and look militarily strong and maybe do a little reshaping of the region. They'll be out of there in about 30 days. They're going to show you they can do this with a light military. You know, cakewalk, nothing. And look at the price we are paying now. One of the top surgeons who was American surgeons was just killed in one of these recent explosions, I think in the last day or so. One of our top surgeons over there. I mean, it's a mess. It is a mess. And 20,000 people are not going to, are only 20,000 people more in harm's way. If you're really going to do it, you need about 100,000 people, according to General Petraeus himself in a manual that he wrote.
And the loss of life is a horrible thing. But since it's happening, I mean, and this sounds horrible to say, but my belief is then take everybody out, let the extremists take over, and then in a year from now, when the new president gets elected in 2008, pass the problem over to him. And then what do we do?
Well, that's it. This is the regime. This is the administration that made the mess. And I think they got. And you know, there's sometimes you make a horrible mess. And in this case, it wasn't that they didn't know they were going to make a mess. I think they knew, and they tried to hide a lot of things from the American public. To many of us, it was evident going in that this was going to be horrendous. I don't think a lot of us knew how horrendous it was going to be, but I knew it was horrendous, and I'm not working for the CIA. I'm just an ordinary person with some common sense. So I knew it was going to be bad, but I think there comes a time when you've got to say, you know what, no one to hold them and no one to fold them, and this is when you got to fold them. This is when you got to say, not throwing good money after bad, Mark. That's what I would say. I agree.
I'm not even.
Then you're so. Then, but you're still supporting this effort. I think at some point you have to say this isn't working. It's not going to work. The definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. Not going to happen.
Then what's the solution if we fold up and walk away?
Well, I think we start to withdraw. You know, they're going to have to take care of their own country. They are going to have to take care of their own country. We start to withdraw. I'm not a military genius, but there have to be ways of doing this. And the handoff has to be to them. We made it worse for them. We're really sorry about that, but they're going to have to fix it. We'll help a little bit, but we can't keep committing lives because it's not going to work. Mark, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Maybe I should run for president. 866-626-1320. Jeff in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Enid.
What's on your mind? Tell me quickly, because we have to take a break.
Well, Mark brought up a good point. No one can believe any of the facts that anything is being said on progressive radio, because like you and Randy, they bring up all kinds of facts that has no proof. And they're asking us to believe that you have.
Jeff, you're calling them facts, and then you're saying they're not facts. The facts that are not facts? Why do you say you have no proof that anything I'm telling you isn't true?
And there's no proof that
there is. Yes, there is. This is all the product of investigative reporting. And Jeff, let me steer you to finding it. Go onto the website. You're going to find all of this stuff there. So you're calling up and you're saying to me, you know, Enid, the Earth is not round. The Earth is flat. Even though you said it's round, this is not, the Earth is actually flat. So thank you, Jeff. You want to say it's not true, but you have no proof that it isn't, and actually this is a result of some excellent reporting. So let's for a moment believe that these facts are as reported. They are true. What are your thoughts about it?
If they were true, it might make a difference, but none of us...
They are true. They are absolutely true, you know what I want to tell you, Jeff, before you call me the next time? Darling, arm yourself with the facts. Please do me that favor. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. What are your thoughts about that? The right wing calls in the facts. They don't like these facts because they're hideous facts. You don't hear them in a lot of places, but they're true. This isn't true. This is Dick Cheney being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer when Wolf Blitzer says, you know, the war's not going very well. Dick Cheney says, that's not true. That's not true. 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Well, good afternoon at 352 Hazel Avenue at Madison Avenue. We have a non-injury collision. Also in North Sacramento, an ambulance responding to an accident. That's at Arden Way at Eastern Avenue. Nice afternoon, though, giving way to a chilly evening. Lower to mid-30s, up to near 60 for Friday. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm
what
you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Top three reasons.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm going to go see Ladysmith Black Mambazo tonight. Yes, I can't wait. I just think they're great. I loved listening to them on Paul Simon's Graceland album. We're talking about a monster, really, this most monstrous family. All of them appear to be monsters of equal in different ways. This is the Cheney family, and some of you who are conservative are not happy with this information, but it is well-researched information as far as I know, and it talks about how they sit on the boards of Lockheed Martin, how they're profiting from the war, Halliburton, no audit, no bid contracts, and Liz Cheney, operating in the Department of State Department, Assistant Secretary of State for Middle Eastern Affairs, no knowledge of Middle Eastern Affairs, operating what essentially is a slush fund for terrorists, Islamic militants, and other worthy characters in order to create regime change for her daddy's vision of the Middle East. I mean, same as before. This is horrible. Let's head over to the phones. Henry and Carmichael, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Henry.
Pretty good over here. Long-time listener. I want to comment about the war.
Yes.
You know, we have one of the worst presidents we ever have in your nation's history. Right now, my take is that the war is already lost.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of which way you see it, you know, it's lost. If we stay there, we're going to keep wasting good money and good lives that we have, and we are creating more people who is going to be trying to make something dangerous over here in America. And also, if we move out of there and just be done with the war, we also lost. So for generations to come, this president is going to be remembered as the one who did the most damage to our country.
I think for
right now, for generations to come.
I agree with you, Henry. I could not agree with you more, and thank you for expressing it so well. 349-1320, Patricia and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Enid, you know, the caller before who says he doesn't believe in the facts, you know...
Yeah, he says it's the Dick Cheney... CTC.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Ford posts a loss of nearly $13 billion.
In its 103-year history, America's oldest automaker has never had a worse year.
Congress is going after credit card companies. Have you read the fine print in your agreement? I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Ford Motor Company lost nearly $2,000 on every car and truck it sold last year. Part of the problem is that it sold 8% fewer vehicles than in 2005. But the biggest part is the cost of buyouts for tens of thousands of workers whose jobs are being eliminated in the company's massive restructuring. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
Ford is literally betting the company in its bid for a turnaround, borrowing $20 billion from banks and putting all of its U.S. assets, in effect the entire brand, up as collateral.
Nothing focuses your mind better than knowing that if you don't execute, the banks are going to own the business.
At the Detroit Auto Show this month, Ford's Mark Field said the company is at a crossroads.
You're telling me then that it's all on the line here, isn't it?
Well, essentially, you know, we have to make sure we deliver on the plans that we've laid out.
Even with its best efforts and luck, Ford doesn't expect to turn a profit till 2009. But Peter Brown of Automotive News thinks Ford is on the right road.
You're looking at a very focused organization now compared to a year ago when they were still kind of living in fantasy land.
General Motors says it expects to announce a fourth quarter profit, but it's withholding a report because of old accounting errors that might force GM to restate earnings back to 2002. Now this.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones or maybe just a rotation?
I can help.
No no matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
What's in your wallet? A Senate panel heard a litany of complaints today about the high cost of credit cards. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Senate Banking Chairman Chris Dodd said too many credit card users are getting hit with interest rate hikes and added fees.
Consumers are consistently becoming confused and intimidated.
Among the witnesses, Elizabeth Warren of Harvard Law School.
Quite simply, the credit card market is broken.
She testified card agreements are growing longer and more complicated.
Sorting out safe cards and dangerous cards is almost impossible. Senators, I think it's clear. Card agreements are not designed to be understood.
Critics tell senators the industry is completely unregulated. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Bank executives defended their practices as fair and responsible. They say only a small proportion of cardholders are hit with high rates and penalties. CBS News reporter Donna Francavilla was at the federal courthouse in Jackson, Mississippi. A 71-year-old James Seal was arraigned in connection with the killings of two black teenagers 43 years ago.
He was bound at the waist with chains around his hands and his feet, and he moved very slowly as he walked in and out of the courtroom. He was wearing a bright orange jail outfit and looked very pale. He was wearing glasses. He looked around the room looking for a familiar face. He didn't smile.
Seal, a reputed Ku Klux Klansman, was brought before U.S. Magistrate Linda Anderson, a black woman. He pleaded not guilty. Charles Moore and Henry D. were abducted, beaten, and tossed in the Mississippi River in 1964. The case was dormant for decades. Moore's brother Thomas worked hard for this day.
Mississippi cold case that can be solved. There can be justice. Even 42 years later.
Released in October after 20 years in prison, Vietnam veteran Larry Fuller received a full pardon from Texas Governor Rick Perry today. He'd been convicted of rape, but DNA evidence proved his innocence. Eric Ferraro of the Innocence Project.
Barry's case shows that wrongful convictions can happen to all kinds of people all over the country, and that it's really important that we reform the criminal justice system so that we're apprehending the true perpetrators of crimes instead of innocent people.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel, and you can join the conversation. We invite you to do it. It's a better conversation when more of you participate in it. And it costs you nothing to do. It's one of the great pleasures of life. You can be heard. You become one of the participants in our daily drama here. And we have more and more participants, and the drama is getting more and more interesting, too, I think. If you're in the 916 area code, call me at 349-1320. And if you're not, call me at 866-626-1320 or email me, enid@kctc.com. And if you're at work or if you're out of town or you're somewhere, we're live and interactive, live stream, 1320leftchannel.com. Well, I'm going to add to the conversation, but let me start where we left off. And where we left off is this piece by Larissa Alexandrovna about the Cheneys and about where their financial interests lie and how it's to their benefit for the war in Iraq to continue. And a lot of you who are Republicans, who are conservatives, you don't want to believe me, so you're pulling a Dick Cheney or a Dickie and saying it's just not true, but you have no reason to believe it isn't true. And this is a result of some good investigative shoe leather reporting. And so let me give it to you. In the Washington Post, the day of the State of the Union address, The daughter that we don't hear so much about, that would be Liz Cheney, who is the assistant deputy, assistant junior deputy, principal junior assistant for Middle Eastern Affairs with the State Department, rises to $8 million in a year. It's an increase of more than 3,000%. As Halliburton continues to rake in billions of dollars from no bid, no audit contracts, an analysis released by Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat of New Jersey, reveals that as Halliburton's fortunes rise, so do the vice president's. Halliburton has already taken in more than $10 billion from the Bush-Cheney administration for work in Iraq. They were awarded many of the unaccountable post-Katrina government contracts as an offshore subsidiaries of Halliburton quietly working around U.S. sanctions to conduct very questionable business with Iran. They're also conducting business with Iran. It is unseemly, says Frank Lautenberg, Democratic senator from New Jersey, for the vice president to continue to benefit from this company at the same time his administration funnels billions of dollars to it. So those of you who are big Cheney supporters or administration supporters, you don't like this, but it appears to be what is going on. And what does Lizzie do for a living, Liz Cheney? Well, her resume is wholly concocted by stints that she did for boards and companies that her parents had things to do with. And now she has been appointed Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs at the State Department. And one pro says she doesn't know anything about it. She has a mandate to do democracy promotion, but she had very little familiarity with the subject. She came in knowing very little about the Middle East. Well, you know, if you're the daughter of the vice president, you don't have to know anything. You get a job. They deliberately, said this picked a person who was not a Middle East specialist so that real, actual knowledge of the issues in the region would not interfere with what they wanted to do to the region, which is exactly what happened with Iraq. They had all these ideas for how they were going to reposition Iraq, and it was going to be a democracy in the Middle East. They were going to reposition, reshape the Middle East, and so on. It's preposterous. So, basically, what Elizabeth Cheney does is she runs a slush fund for terrorists, Islamic militants, and other characters like that in order to create regime change for Syria and for Iran. And more money is getting poured into it. So, you know, what are your thoughts about this? The father is described, Cheney is being described here by Larissa as a walking monstrosity of greed and power lust who could very well destroy America. Enough of Lizzie's mother and her lesbian erotica while yapping about family values and morality and shoving it down the throats of people no less important than Mary Cheney, who gets to live openly as a lesbian and not worry about this hate agenda. After all, hate and terror, Larissa writes, are for the little people. What we don't have enough of, she concludes, is congressional will to remove all of you, Cheneys, collectively, including your cronies at Lockheed Martin, Halliburton, and whatever laundry facilities a lot of you use, and prosecute you, Cheney, all of you, for a plethora of crimes you have each and together engaged in. That would be something that we need more of, but that we have not had enough of. But what we have had more than enough of you, dear Lizzie, is your twisted family's vision of the world. We did not ask for, nor do we want your opinion. But as a public official, you will damn well hear our opinion. Enjoy this one, as I imagine many more will follow. This is Larissa writing in the Huffington Post. So these are the facts. What do you think? We have one line open, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Frank and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Enid. I just wanted to let you know that I listen to you and Randy and Al Franken every day, and you guys cannot be no more than dialed than anybody else with this information. And for Jeff, you know, somebody needs to teach him how to use a computer and do his own researching if he doesn't believe it. And then, you know, the thing with Halliburton not being audited is kind of ridiculous, you know. And
Well, their contracts are not, and what, you know, when they're charging us $17,000 for a coffee urn or for water that's tainted, or you know, or for a toilet seat, there is no oversight. Is what the no audit
there's no
part
accountability
of
for that. You know, there's, and that's what's crazy about it. You know, because I know that, you know, that I was audited just by when I did my taxes, claiming a different status, I was audited. You know,
well, it's too bad you weren't as rich as the Waltons, because they don't want an estate tax for people that rich. And because they could never ram it through, what they've done is they've fired half the auditors who would audit those matters for the IRS, and the IRS is furious.
Yeah, and it wasn't even my mistake. It was a taxpayer that did the preparation for me, and they told me ultimately it was my responsibility whether it was prepared by a certified tax preparer or not. I was still responsible because they were my taxes. But a company like Halliburton, as big as they are, that's why those companies, they get away with that.
It's too bad you're not. It's too bad, Frank, you're not Halliburton or the big corporations.
Oh, I know, we have a problem.
Because they fast track them through the IRS. They all get through questionable deductions, and IRS personnel who are in charge of auditing these things are being pressured by the government to push these questionable deductions through, and they are furious because they know it is a scam.
I know, and it's too bad that they profit in the sacrifice of all of a lot of American casualties out there because of that. And, you know, just like you said, from day one, you know, that war was wrong right from the beginning with no weapons of mass destruction and everything. You know, just it was ridiculous. From day one, they were wrong, you know.
You are absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more, and I thank you for calling. Thanks for listening to us. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. John in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I am good. Thank you.
Good. Two quick things. I think we accomplished our mission in Iraq. We got rid of their evil dictator, and we gave them a democracy. Mission accomplished. Let's go home.
Well, that is a perky ring to that. Yes, John?
Well, the other thing is I have some pet names for Bush and Cheney.
What are they?
Named after the cartoon characters Pinky and the Brain, who every night planned to take over the world.
I never read those cartoons, so I don't know them.
It's a TV cartoon on something Maniacs.
Okay.
Maniacs.
Okay.
Yeah. Pinky and the Brain. Pinky is the stupid one, and the Brain is the evil one.
So Cheney's the Brain, and the Pinky,
yep.
Pinky's the President?
Yep. They screw up their plans every day, and every night they say, what are we going to do tomorrow? We're going to do what we do every day, plan to take over the world.
Thank you very much for that. I like it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, John. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320, Diane in Rancho. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Enid. Mind-boggling. I'm brand new at paying attention to politics. I listen to you guys every day, and I'm just not understanding. What is somebody going to stop Cheney and Bush from taking all the money and just waltzing out in a minute? And oh well, they did something wrong, but they're bazillionaires.
You know, that's really a good question. Here's what the conclusion is, that there isn't the political will to do a lot of things in this country. And that's why I think more of us have to get involved and get more interested. But I don't know.
Isn't this against the law, though? I mean, they're freaking ripping us off.
They're ripping us off. That's right.
That's not politics. That's legal, isn't it?
Well, how is it that there were all these no-bid, no-audit contracts
when it was
Katrina or whether it was Iraq? How did that happen?
Thank you. And wasn't $9 billion lost over there, like, in duffel bags, and we never hear another word about it? It's just like, oops.
Yeah, and
well,
then...
where is that?
Yeah, and then here, people don't have health insurance. Things
Thank
are falling...
You. I'm going to lose my house in a minute, you know, because I'm working two jobs and can't afford to pay it, all right? But... they're making bazillions lying in their pockets and going, oh, you chumps.
Exactly. Exactly.
Back in the day, didn't people, like, stand up and something happened?
Where's the outrage? That's the question.
Thank you. That was exactly the words I was looking for. And that dude was right, except Pinky and the Brain, they come out with nothing every day. These guys are coming out with all of our stuff.
Diane, I'm delighted that you called. Call us again, will you?
Thanks.
Good points. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Chuck in Lathrop. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I'm glad you're on the air.
Thank you.
It's obscene, these things in all these figures, and I know it's, and I've heard it from other sources, so I know you're not, you know, you're not blowing smoke. Is there some way for us to, I mean, expose us to the whole world, get the, shame them to no end, let them leave the office in total hypocrisy, and then come around with an O.J. Simpson type civil thing and take all this money back and give it to the troops that have been injured?
Well, you know, they want to cut the benefits for the troops that have been injured. You know, we support the troops. We're going to cut your benefits the minute you come back home. We don't want to treat you. Oh, head trauma? Too bad. We're cutting the funds for that.
Yeah, if we can somehow take it away from them through their stock options, because, I mean, look, they put Martha Stewart in jail, and they've done other things that are totally ridiculous. We got to do something to them to get the money back.
Well, I think that let me float some ideas. That first of all, the usual ways of getting things done, you contact your representative, your congresspeople, your, you know, all your legislators. You write letters to the newspaper. But I'm going to tell you something. What the newspapers, because their circulation and their revenues are either flat or down, everything is down in this country, they are looking more and more at bloggers, and they're looking more and more. So the more the blogging happens, the more you sign on, the more you get this stuff in front of newspapers, the more we pressure with letters to the editor, the more we pressure our legislators. I mean, eventually there is a tipping point. If they think that everybody's asleep and out shopping and nobody cares and we're not engaged and we're not screaming, then they're just going to keep piling on.
No.
So I think that's one way of doing it. It's probably not the satisfactory answer that you had in mind. But if somebody's got a better idea, I'm open to it.
Okay.
Chuck, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. More as we continue, I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320, KCTC. We're going to have a pop quiz about that. We are what? KCTC, are we? Oh, that's good. With Dan Mitchinson.
All right. No pop quiz there, Enid. It is 420. Good afternoon. 17th Avenue at Stockton Boulevard. We have a non-injury collision reported. Also North Sacramento, so slowing southbound. This is at I-5 just south of Del Paso Road, and looks like just coming over the wire right now, vehicle fire reported. Southbound I-5, this is just north of Florin in South Sacramento, so we'll keep our eye on that. Also keeping our eye on the weekend forecast, looking nice tomorrow with highs right around 60 to 62 degrees, maybe a little bit cooler with a few more clouds on Saturday and Sunday. An overnight low tonight of 32. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
John, everything checks out.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Look, are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money with the chance to get that promotion you deserve? Well, SACJobs.com is proud to present Career Fair 2007. It's happening Wednesday, January 31st at the Sacramento Scottish Rite Center. Thousands of jobs. You can meet the most important decision makers offering jobs from companies like Aflac, California Highway Patrol, HealthNet, Jackson Rancheria Casino, EMQ Children and Family Services, Hertz Rent-A-Car, ADT Security, the Sacramento Police Department, and many, many more. Over 100 employers will be on site, so dress to impress. Mark your calendar Wednesday, January 31st at 11 a.m. at the Scottish Rite Center on 61st and H Street. For more information, log on to sacjobs.com. That's sacjobs.com. And remember, Wednesday, January 31st at 11 a.m. It's sacjobs.com's career fair at the Scottish Rite Center, and they're looking for you.
You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready? New rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in Queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
and local. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7. We've been talking about these outrageous, the Cheney family, no sacrifice there, but they are raking it in the longer the war goes on. Some of you are emailing me that they give some of it to charity. Well, that's nice, and then they get a big tax deduction for it, too. Oh, isn't that nice? They're so good. What good people they are. And then the daughter is trying to reshape the Middle East as per her father's plans, dealing with these miscreants from, Iran and Syria, and she has no expertise in near Middle Eastern affairs. Unless people are sleeping with, never mind. Before 9:13:20. Okay, what has Donald Rumsfeld been up to? Well, he isn't off the public dime either, as it turns out. He has left the Pentagon, but he has not left the Defense Department. On January 4, Don Rumsfeld, who has done more to weaken this military than, he has done to this military what the president has done to this country, opened a government-provided transition office in Arlington, and he has seven Pentagon-paid staffers working for him, according to a Pentagon official. Seven. He's got seven staffers. The Pentagon lists Mr. Rumsfeld as a, quote, non-paid consultant, the status he needs in order to review secret and top-secret documents. So why does he need to review secret and top-secret documents is the question. Rumsfeld and his aides, who include close advisor Stephen Cambone, who I think ran an intelligence operation, the Defense Department wanted to do an end run around the CIA, and so they created their own intelligence operation. I think Stephen Cambone was part of that. They're sifting through the thousands of pages of documents generated during his tenure. The Pentagon official said that former secretaries are entitled to a transition office to sort papers, some of which can be taken with them for a library, for archives, or to write a book. Well, wait a minute. They do this on our dime, and then they get to write the book, and then they collect all the money that goes into their pocket. Do I have that right? Anyway, the transition office, however, in this case, has raised some eyebrows inside the Pentagon. Some question the size of the staff, which includes two military officers and two enlisted men. They also ask why the sorting could not have been done from the time Rumsfeld resigned, November 8th, to when he left the building, December 18th. Apparently when William Cohn, well, I'll get to that, he did it very differently, and he was a Republican. The Pentagon official, asked not to be named, said that Mr. Rumsfeld served nearly 6 years as secretary more than any other defense chief but one, meaning he accumulated an above-average pile of paper. What's more, Rumsfeld managed the bureaucracy via, quote, snowflakes, which was the name that everybody gave to his typed directives on white paper that fell all over the Pentagon by the hundreds. Mr. Rumsfeld, who resigned under pressure after Republicans lost control of Congress in an election largely decided on the stalemated Iraq War, reportedly is undecided about his long-term plans. But he thinks he has a lot to contribute in the debate over new ideas and national security. Oh, please. This man is disreputable. He had talked about writing a book and articles on foreign affairs, but he has made no final decision. Rumsfeld's two immediate predecessors handled their transitions differently. William Cohen, President Clinton's last defense secretary, went straight to his new consulting firm in Washington, said a top advisor. The Pentagon set up an office with two military personnel to sort through his papers for about 6 weeks. Two aides to sort through his papers for about 6 weeks. Don Rumsfeld's got seven aides, and we don't know how long he's going to have this transitional office. It was useful to have a place to make sure things were sorted correctly and all issues of classification strictly reviewed and observed. So I wonder who is reviewing and observing whether or not Rumsfeld is taking the papers that make him look bad so that we'll never be able to look into it. And, it all goes into archives. And this administration has sealed off a lot of archives. We're not going to be able to see anything about this administration for many, many years to come. And then you've got to put your name in, and then they've got to find it, and then it's going to take another 50 years to find it. And it's horrible. So this stuff is not going to be available to us for a long time. The unclassified documents were transferred to the University of Maine's William S. Cohen Center. This is the predecessor, Cohen. Cohen's predecessor, William Perry, left office in January of 1997 and returned immediately to his home state of California. He did not open a transition office in Washington. Instead, he began teaching at Stanford His papers arrived in CD form and were deposited at the Hoover Institution on the Stanford campus. So, but Donald Rumsfeld, who wants to sort through, he's got seven aides, the imperial presidency. These people get booted out, and they're still ever so grand. You have any thoughts about this? Is this, you know, remember the one, that wonderful Yiddish word, chutzpah? It means nerve, but not just nerve. Chutzpah is when you murder your parents, and then you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, because you are now an orphan. This guy has got chutzpah in spades. This is such nerve. These people, he got booted out. What he has done to the military is unconscionable. There were never enough troops committed. He hustled General Eric Shinseki out the door because Shinseki said, this is how many people you're going to need. You're going to need 300,000. Paul Wolfowitz screams into a microphone, wildly overstated, you know. And he has seven aides in an office, and he gets to review this classified material because they've given him a particular status that allows him to do it as a, quote, non-paid consultant. Seven aides. Nobody had that. William Cohen had two, and his predecessor had none and didn't even set up a transitional office. The papers came via CD, and they were deposited on Stanford's campus at the Hoover Institution. You have thoughts about this? And Rumsfeld, 349-1320, and he thinks he has something to contribute? Yes. What he can contribute is his departure as quickly as possible. And here is Alberto Gonzalez, our attorney general, who, a mediocrity. He is saying that the Constitution does not protect habeas corpus. Habeas corpus, which first we heard about habeas corpus at least as early as the Magna Carta, which was just seemed like just yesterday, but it was in the year of 1215. Anyway, one of the Bush administration's most far-reaching assertions of government power was revealed quietly last week when Attorney General and mediocrity Alberto Gonzalez testified that habeas corpus, what is habeas corpus? That he's saying it's not protected by the Constitution. Well, what is the definition of habeas corpus? If anybody's an attorney, I'd like to hear from you. But the general definition of habeas corpus is the right to go to federal court and challenge your imprisonment. So if they haul you off to the pokey, if we didn't have habeas corpus, you could be there indefinitely. And that is exactly what this administration wants to do to people it says are not protected by habeas corpus. And he is going on to argue something that's preposterous, but he's arguing it anyway. The Constitution doesn't say every individual in the U.S. or every citizen is hereby granted or assured the right of habeas. He told Arlen Specter. Specter, by the way, was incredulous when Gonzalez spouted this off. You know, Gonzalez doesn't know anything. This is really horrible. Here's an excerpt from the exchange. Gonzalez says there's no express grant of habeas in the Constitution. There is a prohibition against taking it away. You can't take it away, but he says there's no express grant. Specter says, wait a minute. The Constitution says you can't take it away except in cases of rebellion or invasion. Doesn't that mean you have the right of habeas corpus unless there's an invasion or a rebellion? So Gonzalez says, and he says, I meant by that comment, the Constitution doesn't say every individual in the U.S. or every citizen is hereby granted or assured the right to habeas. Doesn't say that. It simply says the right of habeas corpus shall not be suspended except. So in other words, if it can never be suspended except for two reasons, then you have that right, right? But he's saying it wasn't expressly granted. This is interesting. This is having a conference on how many angels are dancing on the head of a pin. Specter says, you may be treading on your interdiction and violating common sense, Mr. Attorney General. Well, I don't know what it means to tread on your interdiction. Maybe you take the inter and the shun out of that, and maybe that's what he means. But he says, you are violating common sense, Mr. Attorney General. So here it is. Let's say the administration decides that you are an enemy combatant and they haul you off to the pokey and that's it. That is it. That is where you're going to marinate for the rest of your life. Unless you have the right of habeas corpus here. You never can. Now, let me just take it down to an everyday level. They always tell us, check your credit report. Be sure that there are no errors on it. Oftentimes there are errors on your credit reports and so on. So if there are errors on your credit report, so you don't think there could be errors in any other information about you, that you are unfairly accused by your brother-in-law who hates your guts of being a terrorist, and so they haul you off into the pokey, and that's it, because you have no habeas corpus protection, and so therefore you're there until the government decides to free you in case they ever do? I mean, is this what democracy is? Is this what we have become? This has become an autocracy. This is sort of becoming very totalitarian. This is becoming draconian. This is a problem. And, you know, it's not happening to you. It hasn't happened to you yet. So, you know, hey, I'm just going to go shopping. I'm too busy. You know, this is politics. Ugh, they're all liars. Both sides of the aisle, they're just liars. I have important things to do. I have a job, and I have a family, and I have to go shopping. 349-1320, but I think we better not go shopping. I think we better pay attention. I think we got to listen up. Here is Alberto Gonzalez. He says, the Constitution, the most, if you are an attorney, I want to hear from you. Is this not bedrock protection for an American citizen, habeas corpus protection? He says there's not an express grant in the Constitution, but the Constitution says you can, it cannot be taken away except in two specific instances. What are your thoughts about this and this administration? Rumsfeld got seven aides helping him to make his transition into what, I wonder? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Morning Retort with Scott.
Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson. Dan.
Westbound 50 just east. There we go. Disabled vehicle westbound 50 just east of Howe. Traffic beginning to increase on 80 west this afternoon. And we have a non-injury collision southbound 99 at eastbound 47th Avenue. Your updated forecast, 34 tonight. Could see some light.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7. And if you're just joining us on AM 1320 KCTC, here is where we are and where we have been and where we're going. We've been talking about the op-ed piece that Liz Cheney wrote in the Washington Post today, the State of the Union address, talking about how we have to sacrifice and essentially we have to stay the course. And what she doesn't say is how the family profits from all these contracts, Halliburton, Lockheed Martin, where Liz Cheney served on the board and where her husband is a registered lobbyist, and so on. I mean, it really is pretty horrible. She has no credentials for dealing with Middle Eastern affairs, even though she has a junior deputy assistant, deputy junior title in the State Department. And what she's doing is carrying out her father's vision for reshaping and monitoring a slush fund for some of these huge miscreants dealing with Syria and dealing with Iran in the same ham-handed fashion, I think, like they had with the Chalabis of this world. Now transferred to Syria and to Iran. Also, we're talking about Donald Rumsfeld not going gently or quietly into that good night. He has got a transition office. He has got a status as non-paid consultant that allows him to review secret and top-secret documents. He's got seven aides helping him. Seven aides. His predecessor, Bill Cohen, had only two and only had the office for about 6 weeks. So Rumsfeld had plenty of time. He had at least 6 weeks between the time he announced his resignation and the time he actually adiosed out of the office. And apparently that wasn't enough time, so he's surrounded himself by seven aides, and we are undoubtedly paying for that. And what are your thoughts about that? It's raising eyebrows. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And anybody who's an attorney, Alberto Gonzalez says that the Constitution doesn't protect habeas corpus. What the Constitution says is that it can never be removed except in two specific instances. He is contending that that means it's not expressly granted. Do you want to comment on that? This is a fundamental bedrock of a democracy, habeas corpus. It goes back to at least as early as the Magna Carta in 1215 and maybe even earlier. In the U.S., it refers to bringing a prisoner's case before a federal judge who has the power to order the government to release anyone who is being held illegally. And habeas corpus means that you get to go to a federal court. You have the right to do that, to challenge your imprisonment. 349-1320. But if the government decides that you have no habeas corpus and that you are a terrorist dissident, they can keep you. They never have to let you go. You don't have any right to challenge it. Is this what we have become? You know, we're completing the work of Osama bin Laden and the people who plowed into us at 9/11. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Pat in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you today?
I am well, thank you.
Your screener actually said, please, watch your language. You know, actually, I was exercised enough that I used a bad word.
Yes, you can't. You can't. Well, I'll be fine. Your goddess will be fine. $335,000 if you do, Pat. You don't want that.
I promise you I'll be a good boy.
Okay.
What I was thinking was that, you know, and it's nothing elaborate, is that I'm a baby boomer. We grew up in the shadow of the World War II generation. And we all stood in awe of those guys because they'd sacrificed their lives in big ways, in large numbers, to protect the rights of the individual in this culture. And all of a sudden we have a bunch of gangsters who look like, more like Mussolini's thugs trying to align the state's interests with corporate interests than anything that we've seen since the 1930s. It's insane.
It is insane. You are absolutely right about that.
I'm embarrassed by the people who are putting out what passes for political thought in Washington. To say something like that about habeas corpus is so far off the wall. I don't know what law school you could not have gone not in, and it's just utterly impossible.
Pat, are you an attorney?
No, I took seventh grade civics. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I do have a degree in government, but I mean, I'm floored I'm not floored. That's what floors me. You know, I'm so embarrassed that my government has come to be what it is in my lifetime. I never had any conception that I would see people who are so insensitive to the rights of individuals.
Here's the other part of that equation. You know that cliche about how we get the politicians we deserve? How is it that we're not screaming about it? How is it that people are cowed and quiet about it? Are we also Prozac'd out? Is that it? Everybody's on Xanax? Is that the story? Is everybody busy using TV as the anesthesia of choice? Or shopping or consuming, acting like nice consumers? Is that the story here? And nobody taking what they're doing seriously? So as we have averted our gaze, they are running off with the contents of the store.
I think in some, you know, I can't make the tie in a direct and clear way, but it does go directly to the first question you started the show with today. Do you know second-rate bureaucrats who are willing to fill positions of responsibility that are larger than they are?
Well, exactly right. And the litmus test for these people are their party loyalty and how much they've contributed, not their competence, not their expertise. They are not the best and they are not the brightest.
I've got to quit calling you. I agree with you too often. Take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay, I'm going to add this to the conversation. Bill Kristol, who is the editor of the Weekly Standard, a conservative publication, he said that the opponents of escalation in Congress are, quote, leapfrogging each other in the degrees of irresponsibility that they're willing to advocate. He says it's irresponsible for us to criticize the war and that we ought to shut up for 6 or 9 months. You want to comment? This is William Kristol. You see him a lot. He's a talking head. He is the editor of the Weekly Standard. You see him a lot on Fox News and shows of that ilk. He says it's irresponsible for us to criticize the war, and that he thinks that we need to shut up, be quiet, for 6 or 9 months. you really wonder, do you want it to work or not? Here, I thought we were living in a vibrant democracy where we're not doing enough talking about this stuff. And he says, we ought to shut up. We can't talk about it for 6 to 9 months. So no habeas corpus. Shut up. Don't talk about it. If you do talk about it, we'll be listening in. If you write about it, we'll be reading your mail. We'll be looking at your emails, too, if you try to shoot somebody an email message. What do you think about that? And what the Bush administration, you know, they're trolling the waters for Iran. And who knows what they're going to be doing in Syria. But now they're going to focus on an Afghan recovery. This is all public relations. After completely ignoring Afghanistan, at a moment when we really could have brought in Osama bin Laden, here's what we are doing. We're now going to go and we're going to try and make a success of Afghanistan. Can you believe these people? They are completely shameless. But we're worse if we let them get away with it. Sandra in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, I had to just comment on that Will Christo. I mean, this guy has been wrong for years, and him and Friedman, they're all disgusting. And I'm like, who's paying these people? You know, because they're wrong, and the public still reads them. I don't really get it, but they're dangerous, and they really should be shut down.
Well, Cheney has been wrong. Everything he has stood for has been wrong, and he's still in business, and the president's still listening to him.
Well, no, and these people's careers continue to explode like that. Friedman, I mean, he's just unbelievable, the amount of work he gets. And I mean, they're wrong. They're constantly wrong, and they're sort of, you know, shoving us further into this sort of endless war. I just wonder, you know, who's backing them, what's really going on. Because
Rupert Murdoch, I think, owns the Weekly Standard.
Okay, but people just can't be this incompetent. I mean, I'm just sort of floored by how, you know, I guess like you said, people are just shopping, because I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Sandra, I thank you very much for the call. Sandra's right. These people are incompetent. Remember the obit I opened the show with, Howard Hunt? Watergate bungler? He bungled his whole CIA career, and he didn't get fired. He wound up retiring from the CIA, I think. And he kept getting other assignments. And he never, you know, he was suave, and he was loyal, and maybe he looked like the part of a CIA guy, but every assignment he got, he bungled until, you know, Peter Principal, he got to the apex of bungling with Watergate. But they still never unloaded him, as far as I could see in the obituary. This is maybe the story of this administration as well. So here is Dickie. He's planning a new focus on the recovery of Afghanistan, an extra $7 billion to Afghanistan, where we almost were within spitting distance of Osama bin Laden. Dick Cheney says he doesn't know where he is. He moved, and he left no forwarding address. He's like 6'5". I think he's hooked up to a dialysis machine. At least that's what they have always said. I don't know if it's true. And nobody can find him. You know, I don't know where he is. He's in a cave somewhere, but his number two guy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is on TV as often as Wolf Blitzer is. But nobody can find these guys. Isn't that amazing? They don't know where they are. They could be anywhere. You know, it's a rough terrain there. I don't know. He could be hiding in a cave. He's got about 23, I don't know how many wives. Got a lot of wives. And I think they're all with him. And, you know, some of them like to send away for fancy lingerie. So how does FedEx make it over there? Or UPS? You tell me. I don't get that. You know, sometimes they like to have a manicure. Or they like to have a pedicure. It's hard in a cave. But maybe it's a nice cave. I don't know. We have caved, apparently, to ever trying to bring them to justice. And when it looked like we really were going to bring them in, we turned our attention. And there was a lot of special ops groundwork that was laid in Afghanistan to get the people to trust them, get the people to talk to them, to find out where everybody was hiding. And that was just about to pop when everybody was pulled off of Afghanistan and sent to Iraq. So, you know, you divide them into two places and you win none of those two places. So after the bloodiest year in Afghanistan since the U.S. invasion, the Bush administration is preparing a series of new military and economic and political initiatives aimed partly at preempting an expected offensive this spring by Taliban insurgents. And by the way, it's being reported by the New York Times, and we talked about that this week, that the Pakistani intelligence services are helping the Taliban. And a New York Times reporter, a woman, has been reporting on this story, and intelligence agents from Pakistan barged into her hotel room, broke the chain, came on in, roughed her up, punched her head, beat her up, took her computer, took her cell phone, found out what sources she was talking to. The intelligence services visited those, and many of them wanted to remain confidential, of course, for a lot of reasons. Well, I guess no more, because the intelligence services found them all, visited them all, threatened them all, threatened her photographer, said he better never work for the New York Times again. I mean, this is horrible. And what we have done is we've made Afghanistan safe for a bumper crop of opium, killing people on the streets of Los Angeles and other cities in our country because the stuff is so pure that it is really a health issue. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So you know what I think this is? This is in the Washington Post. Headline, Bush plans new focus on Afghanistan recovery. You know what I think they do? They sit around and they say, let's have a headline. We've got to have something to take everybody's mind off that bad State of the Union speech about our failure in Iraq. I know. Let's just talk about a resurgence in Afghanistan. They don't actually have to have one. They're just talking about it. It's like a commercial. It's like an ad. Let's get everybody's, let's just deflect, misdirection. Let's deflect their attention away from all of our failures and make it sound like it's a new day, it's a new way forward. And you know, so the Washington Post, it comes out of the White House, it's legitimate news. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Eva in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eva.
Hi, Enid. The previous caller who was asking what was behind all this, what's behind the Iraqi war, I mean, what I really think is who's behind it is the Saudi royal family. If you really look into, like, what the research that Michael Moore did and everything, the Bush family and Cheney have such ties to the Saudi royal family, and it's to their advantage to be in Iraq and to try to steal their oil and Iran.
Well, the Saudis had Dick Cheney come in. I mean, they summoned him big time. It's just like, you get in here, buddy.
Right.
And then he came in, and they read him, the Saudi royal family read him the Riot Act. You will not get out of Iraq. We don't want you to leave Iraq, because if you do, we will support your opposite, and it will be even, you know, they really threatened the administration. So that's all I know about that so far. I have not heard anything more about it.
Right, and I think that they know a lot, you know, the Saudi, you know, royal family has a lot to hold over them, you know, so they better do what they tell them to do.
Well, here's what I do know, that every time we have gotten in trouble as a country, we have gone to the Saudis to bail us out.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, not every time, but quite a lot of times. And so, Eva, thank you very much for reminding us. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mark in Granite Bay. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for your work. Alberto Gonzalez needs to study his constitution. I can answer your question about habeas corpus.
Okay. Are you an attorney, Mark?
I'm not an attorney, but I was a political science major at Stanford and have a master's in government and teach government.
Well, I think you know more than Alberto Gonzalez, who specialized in real estate deals. They call them dirt deals. Yeah, tell me quickly.
Really, is the attorney general. The 5th and 14th Amendment to the Constitution guarantees us the right to due process of law. What does that mean? Among other things, it means habeas corpus. Any lawyer worth his salt knows that due process of the law is an express right of Americans under the 5th and 14th Amendment to the Constitution. The guy doesn't know his Constitution.
Well, and Arlen Specter was dismayed. I thank you very much for that, Mark. Email me something, will you? Enid at KCTC.com. I appreciate it. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
And good afternoon. 452 South Sacramento, 99 just north of eastbound 47th. We have a car blocking a lane. Also southbound 99. This is at eastbound 47th Avenue. That earlier collision, it was a non-injury, still being cleared right now. Your updated forecast, areas of frost overnight, a low of 32. Tomorrow, high clouds with temperatures in the upper 50s and lower 60s. I'm Dan Mitchinson, more Enid Live, and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
People have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Danelle Nicole.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gay exploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Automakers are struggling, but Ford clearly is in the deepest hole. The company reports a $12.7 billion loss for 2006 due to slumping sales and the cost of buyouts for tens of thousands of workers.
Those jobs are gone, and when this company is turned around, the new jobs won't be what the old jobs were.
Industry analyst John Cassessa in Detroit, WWJ Radio's Ron Dewey talked to some who were still on the job.
The huge financial loss at Ford has at least one worker at a loss for words.
I don't know what to say about it. It's just this, the story just keeps getting worse and worse every few months.
Which has other workers asking, what's next?
It's going to hurt the economy. Really? Because they got, I got a feeling they're going to close more than the plants that they say they was going to close.
I'm just going to hold on and, you know, pray that they make the right choices.
Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
An aging white man was brought before a black judge in Jackson, Mississippi today to face charges stemming from the racially motivated killings of two black teenagers back in 1964. CBS News reporter Donna Francavilla was there.
James Seal pleaded not guilty to three counts of conspiracy to commit kidnapping with death resulting. He was too old, too feeble, too sick to even stand while those counts are being read against him. He had to sit down. His trial attorney saying that he is sick and needs medication and needs special attention.
The defense says Seal has cancer. Reportedly, a second man suspected in the crime is cooperating with authorities, which would explain why he hasn't been charged. In Buffalo, New York, the man convicted in the fatal abortion in the fatal shooting of abortion doctor Barnett Slepian was found guilty on federal charges today. WBEN Radio's Barbara Burns covered the trial of James Kopp, who acted as his own attorney.
He maintained all along for many years now that he never meant to kill Dr. Slepian, that he absolutely just wanted to wound him. He was shooting for his arm. He never meant to kill him. But the prosecution, their main contention in this trial was if, in fact, James Kopp just wanted to injure Dr. Slepian, then why did he choose an AK-47?
Kopp is already serving a 25-year-to-life state sentence. This conviction could mean a federal sentence of life without parole. California Congressman Duncan Hunter, a conservative Republican who wants tougher measures against illegal immigration, formally launched his presidential campaign today in South Carolina.
A lot of folks here care about a strong national defense. They care about border security, which is important to me. I built that fence in San Diego, and we're going to extend it east across Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And I also want to bring back some of those high-paying jobs that bad trade policies have sent overseas.
Hunter said nobody wins the presidency without winning South Carolina. Bad day in the market. The Dow Industrial's down 119 points to 12,502. The NASDAQ off 32 points today. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mom. While you're at the office, your teenager has 1,000 strangers in her bedroom.
I have 3,000 friends.
She snorts really good weed. This girl was so high.
That's what it's like when your kid's on the internet, and some people talk about drugs.
Got me a dime bag.
I found my mom's house.
I'm annihilated.
So maybe send an instant message, because even with 1,000 people in the room, one more could make a difference.
Hi, it's Mom. Less chatting, more homework.
Gotta go.
See ya. Becky, you said hi.
Checking in. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit Quit Assist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
Quit Assist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
Just say, whoa. That's the essence of a new safety campaign aimed at teenagers in cars. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
Teens are more likely to speed, run red lights, make illegal turns, and die in SUV rollover accidents. There's also evidence teenagers will follow advice of peers before parents. So the Ad Council's Peggy Conlon says a new ad campaign will talk to the teen passengers.
If passengers are in the car with friends and don't feel safe, we want them to say something to the driver.
The ads go like this.
In the real world, there is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up.
Whoa, Andy, slow down.
John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
At St. Rose of Lima School in Warwick, Rhode Island, students not only have to be quiet in class and in the library, now they have to be quiet in the cafeteria. School officials say they don't expect absolute silence, but kids have to be quiet enough so if anyone's in trouble, they'll be heard. The rule was imposed after 3 recent choking incidents. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel for what I hope and think, and sometimes actually we do it, is one of the most vibrant conversations in town. Maybe the most. Well, because of you. Because the more of you who participate, the better the conversation is, and you can do it with a phone call. 349-1320. Toll free, 866-626-1320. All calls to Enid Live are toll free. So, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And if you're just joining us, I'll tell you some of the places we have been. We have been to a Larissa Alexandrovna piece on the Cheneys and how they have profited Lockheed Martin, how the stock has gone up tremendously, and Halliburton the same, and how the daughter is profiting by the war because her position really requires her overseeing a slush fund for some of these characters of questionable questionable characters who are Middle Eastern snake oil salesman, such as Chalabi was, or Chalabi, I never knew how to pronounce it exactly. So we're talking about that. We're talking about Donald Rumsfeld, who has a transitional office in the Pentagon, and 7 aides. His predecessor had only 2 and did it only for 6 weeks. This is going to go on in perpetuity, I think, and you may have thoughts about that. We're talking about the Bush plan for a new focus on Afghanistan recovery. Oh, really? We haven't figured out the Iraq recovery. We took our eyeballs off of Afghanistan. But to take our eyeballs off of what a failure Iraq is, suddenly we're going to focus on Afghanistan recovery when it's being reported that Pakistan, our alleged ally has been helping the Taliban, and what we know is that Afghanistan is now safe to have record crops of opium, and people are dropping dead in the streets in New York and Los Angeles because the heroin is so pure. Bill Kristol, who is the Weekly Standard editor, says that opponents of the escalation in Congress are leapfrogging over each other and that they are irresponsible and they better just shut up for 6 to 9 months. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320. And here's Alberto Gonzalez, who says that the Constitution doesn't expressly grant habeas corpus. What is habeas corpus? The right to go to federal court and challenge your imprisonment. Been a foundation of law, at least English law, at least since the Magna Carta in 1215 and perhaps even before all of that. I want to add to the conversation, and let me do that, 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. One of the things that's happening right now is the Scooter Libby trial, which is really interesting. What we think has happened is that Scooter Libby, who was the chief of staff of Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, that Dick Cheney probably leaked the identity of Valerie Plame in some way, and that Scooter Libby is taking the hit for it. It isn't really about who leaked the identity. It's about who lied about leaking the identity. So it's not the crime in the case of Scooter Libby. It is the cover-up. So let me do, this is from Jay Rockefeller, and this is Vice President Dick Cheney. This is what Jay Rockefeller said, that Cheney has applied constant pressure to stall the investigation on flawed Iraq intelligence. So Vice President Dick Cheney put constant pressure on the Republican former head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and that would be, I think, Pat Roberts, who did nothing, actually. He put constant pressure on the Republican former head of the Senate Intelligence Committee to stall an investigation into the Bush administration's use of flawed intelligence on Iraq. This is what Jay Rockefeller charged just today. In an interview with McClatchy Papers, so maybe we'll see it in the paper tomorrow, Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia said it was not hearsay that Cheney, a leading proponent of invading Iraq, pushed Senator Pat Roberts, Republican from Kansas, to drag out the probe. It was just constant, Rockefeller said. Well, let me ask you this. If Rockefeller knew this, where was he? Why didn't he speak up sooner? How come he's in the witness protection program on this? 349-1320. Cheney said in response to Rockefeller's charge that he believes that Senator Roberts was a good chairman of, quote, a good chairman of the Intelligence Committee. Roberts' chief of staff said in an email statement it was Democrats' fault that the investigation remains incomplete. Oh, please, the Democrats have been asking for the results of this investigation for months, and the Republicans were stalling them. And now they have really stepped on the gas, and they want the results of this investigation. But now the Republicans are blaming the Democrats, that it was their fault that the investigation remains incomplete more than two years after it was begun. Senator Rockefeller's allegations are patently untrue, she said. The delays came from the Democrats' insistence that they expand the scope of the inquiry to make it a more political document going into the 2006 elections. Chairman Roberts did just everything they could to accommodate the request for further information without allowing them to distort the facts. Roberts claimed the Intelligence Committee, chaired the Intelligence Committee from January 2003 until the Democrats took over this month. So if Jay Rockefeller knew that the pressure from Dick Cheney's office was constant on Pat Roberts, why didn't he say so? Why is he only speaking up now when it's safe to do it? Where was he when we needed him? 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. And there is testimony in the Scooter Libby trial today that's pretty intriguing, too. Also, I want to get to, we are not there yet, but new numbers coming in for Hillary versus Obama. We'll be talking about that. Laura in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to let you and other listeners know that if they wanted some really good analysis, both legal and contextual analysis of the Scooter Libby trial, I can't think of a single website better than Fire Dog Lake,
okay.
They've got a former federal prosecutor, Christy Harden Smith, who's sitting in on the trial and providing minute by minute, up to date, not only the actual discussion, but also her legal analysis of what's really going on in the Scooter Libby trial.
Well, now wait a minute.
Thrown under the bus, what tactics they're trying to apply. and how they're trying to deflect responsibility. It is really...
Laura, is she one of the two bloggers that they are allowing into that trial?
That's correct.
All right, so tell us again, firedoglake1word.com?
Firedoglake.com, one of the most concise websites or blog spots that I've ever seen, particularly for its ability to make understandable the legal ramifications of what's actually going on, both procedurally and substantively.
All right, what is she saying about it? Because it's getting curiouser and curiouser. I'm trying to make sense of this. You had a former Cheney staffer testifying today. We thought, Murray Wass has reported, and we have been under the impression that really the leak came from Dick Cheney himself, and that Scooter Libby has thrown himself on his own sword to protect Dick Cheney. Now he's saying it could be the White House, that he's being made the scapegoat for Karl Rove, and people even higher than that. And what is this analyst saying about what she... And today's testimony was from Cheney's former public affairs director, who made it clear that Libby was lying, and what he's on trial for is not the crime but the cover-up. And Patrick Fitzgerald has accused him of lying, and she has pretty much corroborated that today.
And in fact, it is the lying and not the covering up that is being litigated. And Scooter Libby is trying to say that White House was trying to protect Karl Rove. Who knows what his motivation is? But in fact, what's really scrambling about is witnesses are testifying, my job was so important and so crucial and so busy, I just don't remember who I spoke to and when and what the facts were. But it seems the testimony is clearly leading back to the vice president's office, and it is fascinating. I would hate to do a disservice to the analysis and instead would urge people to look at the Fire Dog Lake website and get a much clearer and more concise and more legally appropriate analysis than anything that I could possibly offer.
Oh, well, I'm delighted to have this. Thank you so much for recommending it, and we'll go there. We'll look around and see what's what. It would be intriguing if somehow... I can't believe, though, that there would be a happy ending for us when it comes to Dick Cheney. It's almost too much to hope for.
Well, I'll tell you, you couldn't put your hopes in a better basket than the basket of Patrick Fitzgerald. This is a man that's very conservative and very exacting and very... He's taking everything step by step and being so careful with the legalities of this, but it's fascinating. I couldn't urge you more to look at Fire Dog Lake.
I'm going
to
do it. It would be such.
Been following this since the story broke on July 30th of, I believe, 2004, when Robert Novak made his dirty little screed about. Valerie Plame.
You know, I want to jump in here, Laura. Let me just tell you, I have interviewed Joseph Wilson at least twice. So I've been watching this with very carefully. Patrick Fitzgerald is everything that you say he is. He is from Chicago. I don't think that the Republicans ever thought he was going to be as tough and as thorough as he is. They maybe thought he was going to be more partisan, and he is not. We were hoping for an indictment against Karl Rove, and that didn't happen, so I'm afraid to hope for something against Dick Cheney. But, boy, this would be so juicy if it broke that way. You know, law of unintended consequences and another stop on the karma train is all I can think of.
I am so pleased to find that there are still federal prosecutors whose jobs have not been pulled and replaced by hacks, but are so exacting and who are standing by the rule of law. We are a nation of laws, not a nation of men.
We're going to be a nation looking for its habeas corpus if we're not careful. Laura, I thank you very much for the call, and thanks for the heads up. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Patrick, Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patrick.
Well, how you doing?
Doing well.
Well, listen, you know, years ago when I was... doing some workshop with S.A. Hayakawa, you know, Senator of San Francisco State.
Right.
And
right.
I'd like the comment he made many years ago, which was, a noisy society is a healthy society.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you don't have this kind of discussion in the Soviet Union years ago, and probably three-quarters of the planet today. So all these issues, you know, I've listened to probably 2,000 hours of this stuff since 2001, and taped about 500 hours, so I'm dismayed by it all, but... I'm not surprised.
What is the it that you're dismayed by?
Say that again.
What is the it that dismays you? The lack of outrage, the lack of discussion.
All of it. I'm outraged at the spying, the whole internet issue of trying to limit the access to the internet. I mean, I'm, You know, I remember John Mitchell. John Mitchell proposed no-knock laws in the 60s. So he scared the hell out of me then. Gonzalez is ignorant. I mean, this man, I mean...
Well, that he's gotten as far that this man, who is happy to erode our civil liberties in a million different ways, subtle and not so subtle, that he has gotten this far and that there hasn't been more outrage, that he hasn't been stopped or questioned more, is just remarkable to me.
Well, you see, it doesn't surprise me. This country is still developing a habit of democracy. And I believe, as I did many years ago, that TV and technology is going to continue to bring about these kind of conversations we should have been having 30, 40 years ago. The religion versus science. All of these issues are starting to come out more and more and than ever before in our history. For the most part, my judgment is, I almost became a Presbyterian minister and left that theological issue many, many years ago. So once I did, I began to realize, whether it was the KKK, the civil rights movement, I was totally shocked as a young 20-year-old that I'd been lied to and sold a bill of fairy tales. Well, it wasn't so much lying as it was gross misinformation and ignorance. So I'm not surprised by any of this. And it scares me sometimes, I must say.
Well, Pastor,
Gonzalez in particular.
Are you a Presbyterian minister, are you telling
me? No, I'm not. I'm
but you flirted.
Many, many, many jobs in counseling and education and welfare and advertising. And I lived in Europe for a couple of years, and so I've been studying, you know, for history.
But here's the thing. We aren't having these vibrant community discussions. The community life has dwindled in this country. People are so busy just trying to make a living. We are very, and I hope you're right, that
you're there.
I am, and we're trying.
There,
and we have a great conversation every day, but how many of us have this kind of a conversation with our friends or the people, our families?
I couldn't agree with you more. And maybe because of this technology, maybe a little bit more, this generation will improve. I don't know.
We're going to leave it there, Patrick. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with our very own Dan Mitchinson.
Well, thank you, Enid. It is 520 KCTC Sacramento traffic in Auburn. Just getting reports of a traffic hazard westbound 80 at Douglas Boulevard. Also a disabled vehicle that's reported northbound 99 on Kelvine Road. That's on the off-ramp. And brake lights, well, we're seeing a lot of those heading into downtown on 5 South. Beautiful sunset out there this afternoon. That's going to lead to an overnight temperature around 34 degrees and a high tomorrow near 60. Friday looking pretty good. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Small business.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. for a limited time only. Go to LegalZoom.com and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in Queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth. Tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation at 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And let me just add this to the conversation because this is just being reported. Apparently, what we're witnessing is there has been a secret planning to go into Iran, by this administration. It's been a six-year push within the Bush administration to attack Iran. According to this new investigation, while Iran was named a part of George Bush's Axis of Evil, or maybe the administration should be called Asses of Evil. What do you think? Part of the Axis of Evil, efforts to ignite a confrontation with Iran date back long before the post-9/11 war on terror. So there's a whole report on it, and I'll go through it when I have a moment. But this administration has had 6 years of trying to go to war against Iran, and you know what? They've got two more years left. They might pull it off. I hope they don't. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Bill Kristol says it's irresponsible for people to be critical about the war on Iraq, and they ought to shut up for 6 to 9 months. What are your thoughts about that? I want to also talk about Barack and Hillary, new numbers coming in, and I'll share those with you as we continue. Burton in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Burton. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I got my call pretty quick. Your new subject kind of intrigues me because it was a couple of years ago, I think, that Al Franken had a thing about it, and they brought up something, I can't remember if it was a memo or what, that indicated they were shooting to try to get into Iraq, in June, to start the whole thing they did in Iraq. And I never heard more about that, but I don't know which year.
Are you talking about Iraq or Iran?
Iran.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that Franken had brought that up already. Couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
We have more information on it, and there's more investigation that's been done.
Good. I'll be anxious to hear on that. When Bush started this war, I could not believe that the Congress went along with it to the degree they did, except I know the pressure they were under. So for a couple of years, we spent in
virtual fear. Where my wife worked, she couldn't say anything because it was Republican-leaning. It's just like the whole country, anybody who wanted to speak out was suddenly silenced.
Was Dixie chicked. That's what happened. Everybody was Dixie chicked. And I'm going to tell you something, but I, you know, here is Jay Rockefeller. There are fewer names more powerful than the name Rockefeller on the Senate Intelligence Committee that for all these years, Dick Cheney has been leaning on the head of the committee, who is now no longer the head because the Democrats have taken over, to not release an intelligence report. And where was, and now Jay Rockefeller, now that it's safe to say so, is speaking about it publicly. But how come he didn't speak out before this, when we really needed him to speak out?
I don't know. The Rockefellers still go along with many of the major big money families all the way back to, you know, 1800s and up. My family included the Mellons, which were really devious in their politics and oil and things to the extent you would hardly believe. But, you know, this kind of...
Are you telling us you're part of the Mellon family?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that means Gerald Skiff, the guy who contributes heavily to these horrible conservative causes. Well, Burton, we're going to leave it there. I thank you very much for the call. We have an august listener here. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Okay, some numbers coming in. Hillary Clinton is between Hillary Clinton and Obama. Put your guessing cap at your guessing. Well, you're guessing cap on. 349-1320, what are the numbers? Right now, between who, this is Hillary Clinton and Obama. What are the numbers for them? Let me see who, I don't know who they surveyed. I just have the numbers. I don't know how they surveyed and who they surveyed. But according to the latest research, what are Hillary's numbers and what are Obama's numbers? Do you know? You want to guess if you don't know? Hillary's numbers, Obama's numbers. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I'll give you a few seconds to think about if you were guessing. If you're looking into the tea leaves, what are the numbers? And where is John Edwards in this equation? Are you aware? These just came out. Okay, I'll share them with you. But before I do, here is a question. Would Obama appeal to African Americans? And it's still apparently an open question. Looking around at an overwhelmingly white audience that was applauding Senator Barack Obama's luncheon speech on Iraq in a downtown hotel, one person expressed concern. He was the only black person in the crowd. He was thrilled that Obama, the only African-American in the Senate, could engender such enthusiasm from a white audience because it offered further proof that he could be a formidable presidential candidate. But the worry is that in order to run successfully, Obama would have to become a different kind of politician than the one who earned the trust of the voters on Chicago's mostly black South Side. And remember, on the South Side of Chicago is the University of Chicago. So you have a real cross-section there. I don't know which particular district he represented at that time, but you do have a cross-section on the South Side in Chicago. But in any event, the question is an open question, and what is Barack Obama's appeal to blacks, to African Americans? Now, some of you have called in who identify yourselves as conservative Republicans who are black African American, say that you would cross over and you would vote for Barack Obama. Here are the numbers: 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay, if you're guessing, Hillary Clinton is way out in front of Barack Obama. If the election were held just a second, she is at 40% and he is at 21%. So she almost doubles his numbers. She is at 40%. He is at 21%. John Edwards, where is he? A distant third at 11%. If the election were right now, Obama clearly suffers a disadvantage in profile among likely voters, with only 51% indicating that they knew enough about him to form an opinion. So we love him, but we're the West Coast. And the East Coast loves him. But what about the Heartland? Do they love him? 51%, they don't say that they don't have enough information about him to form an opinion, compared with 94% who say the same of Hillary Clinton. It's not clear what they're saying, that 94% say the same of Hillary Clinton. Do they indicate that they know enough about him to form an opinion? All right, so 51% do know enough about him to form an opinion, but 49% do not. 94% do know enough about Hillary Clinton to form an opinion, and 6% do not. In Obama's favor, however, are his far lower negative ratings. While 58% of voters familiar with Hillary have a positive view of her, 41% give her negative marks. So she has a net favorability score of plus 17. By contrast, Obama's net favorability score is plus 47. On the Republican side, Rudy Giuliani has a net favorability rating of plus 68, with only 14% having a negative view of him. I can't believe that. McCain, however, holds a narrow lead over Giuliani. He is at 30% to Giuliani's 26%. So this is interesting. So here is Hillary. Her numbers are twice as high as Barack Obama's. However, her unfavorables are very high and his are very low. So it actually gives him a plus over her in terms of net favorability. John McCain is only 4 points ahead of Rudy Giuliani. And John Edwards is only about 11% in the numbers. McCain could beat either Obama or Senator John Edwards by a certain margin here. But I don't know. You know, it's really early in the polling, and it's hard to know how it's all going to shake down. Obama has just snagged a top donor. Barack Obama has just landed one of John Kerry's most important fundraisers, a guy named Mark Gorenberg, who is a California-based venture capitalist. He is a top fundraiser for the Democratic Party. Gorenberg is a heavyweight in fundraising circles who has helped to turn San Francisco into a major fundraising source for Democrats. He was a leading fundraiser for Kerry in 2004 as his California finance chair, and he raised more than $1 million for 27 Democratic House candidates in 2006. So Obama has snagged him as a major fundraiser. And here is one of Obama's points that he's going to be supporting. Here is the sentence from a talk that he just gave. The time has come for universal health care in America, says Barack Obama. He is confirming that health care is going to take place alongside Iraq as a key issue driving the Democratic presidential primary. So Barack Obama is issuing the following call in a speech this morning. The time has come for universal health care in America. Is he going to get traction with that? I think yes. And finally, Dick Cheney says Hillary Clinton would not be a good president. She thinks he would not be a good president. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
It is 5:35. Thanks, Enid. Looky-loo, so slowing traffic westbound 50 just west at State College. Guests are looking at a disabled vehicle that's been reported in that area. Also in South Sacramento, northbound Sunrise Boulevard at eastbound 50, something being reported in one of the lanes, so keep your eyes open there. Weather, cool tonight, clear skies early, down to 34, 50s and lower 60s on Friday. Right now, downtown Sacramento, we have 61 degrees. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320
Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Red.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you got all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Thursday edition of Enid Live. Oh, I'm a day off, but I've been pretty good all day long. Wait, I'll say Friday and I won't be here tomorrow, huh? You are listening to Enid Live, yours from 3 to 7 on AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel, and you can join the conversation at 349-1320, 866-620-61320. We have been a lot of places today. Jump on the train. Dick Cheney says Hillary Clinton would not be a good president. You would think that he would try to tout her presidency because the Republicans think she can't win, and they use her for fundraising, but she is right now about twice as many points ahead of Barack Obama, but her negatives are so high that actually he winds up with a plus over her. So I don't know what it all means. It's a little bit too early, but anyway, these are the tea leaves. Let's go to the phones. Cardell and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm very happy tonight to hear you talking about the habeas corpus issue, and I think it's pretty vital and instrumental because as an African American, I don't feel like I've ever had habeas corpus protection, and if you're complaining about it, that means we're getting to a point to where we might can get away from this myopic view that one election or one process is going to change this. You know, our change needs to be profound and substantive, and I'm not certain that, you know, we're really talking about the real issues, because if they don't allow, if they allowed my people to get treated the way that it is to this point, to where we're in the situation that we're currently in, you know, Katrina and all those kind of things.
What do you mean you haven't been able to enjoy the benefits of habeas corpus?
Give me an example. Just a small detail. I won't even get it any. I don't have any, like, you know, Rodney King kind of stories. But at 15, and I grew up in San Dimas, California, which is not a really bad place to live at, I had to get an ID. I had to get an ID at 15 because I would get stopped by the L.A. County Sheriff every other week. you know, because, hey, where are you going? Where do you live over here? You know, these kind of things. And I just, a lot of people treat these issues that are coming to roost now as if there's something that just happened since the Clinton administration has, you know, left. These are long-standing issues that have been problems in our society historically, you know, and they need to be addressed. And they're coming out to, you know, if I have to believe that corporations looked at the way black people were treated and decided that, hey, we can send people off to war to die for oil. We don't have to reward people. We can send jobs wherever we want to. We don't have to treat people fairly in this country. You know, it's just like Malcolm X says. It's, you know, it's not just going
to. But
stop.
Are you have you been denied the right to go to federal court and challenge your imprisonment? Were you ever in prison for anything?
Do you have you seen the roster of San Quentin and the percentage of black people that are in there?
But the question is, have you had the right to go to federal court denied you to challenge your imprisonment?
I would agree, and I would believe, and this is a more esoteric view than maybe you're subscribing to, but I would believe that probably 50% of African-American males that are in prison right now have been denied their rights to get there.
Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll see how people respond to it. Cardell, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, do you agree with what Cardell has to say? Michael, Roseville, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
Ian, how are you tonight?
I am very perky. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I am getting more and more excited every day about Hillary Clinton. I absolutely am in love with this woman, and I don't mean in a male-female. I'm in love with her as a leader. And I think that, I think, you know, you can have your favorite. Obama is a great, is a very likable guy. You know, Edward's a great, very likable guy. And, you know, as Democrats, we can have our favorite people. But Hillary is going to win the nomination, I believe. I believe there's absolutely nothing that can get
She may win the nomination, but I still don't know if she's going to win the election. I don't know. And the red states, they hate the Clintons. I mean, the Clintons have been an industry for these people. They hate their guts. I don't know why. I've never saw a president as besieged as Bill Clinton was by these right-wing haters. And they're since they don't have any more red meat, they're going to go after Hillary the minute she's...
Right. They're going to go after her, but them going after her will make her stronger. When this woman gets a chance to start speaking, she's not real good with sound bites, and that's all she gets now.
Well, what do you think we vote on? Wait a minute. You can't say, she's not real good with sound bites. This is what the people, this is what the American public is voting on, sound bites.
No,
she better get good right away.
Now, Enid, people don't really, I don't think people have a feel for her personality yet. When she wins the nomination, when she gets on the campaign.
No, I think people, I think you are so wrong about this, Michael. I think people feel like they really know her because they had all these years of her. Now, they may not know her at all, but for some reason, according to the research, they feel like they know her in the high 90s. And it's like, even if she undergoes a huge transformation, I don't know whether or not people, it will register with the population who already has decided about her and already thinks it knows her.
I'm a little disturbed by your negativity towards her. I don't think you know anything.
My negativity, Michael, darling, is called my opinion. I'm giving you my straight opinion. I'm not a hack for this party or that party, and I'm not doing propaganda for any side. I'm just telling you the way I see it. People think that they know her. And even if she undergoes a radical transformation, I don't know to what extent it will register with the public. It might not, but I don't think so.
I don't want her to transform. This woman is very smart. She's been in politics in one form or another for 35 or 36 years. She is the most qualified candidate out there by far.
I don't argue with you on any of this stuff, but I am saying that for some reason she has high negatives, and most people feel they know her. And the question is, even if she becomes as easy and as great on the stump as her husband, I don't know to what extent it will register with the American public, who doesn't have much of a collective memory. But I think she is sort of enshrined as a demon for a lot of people, and I don't know how much people are going to get over that.
When she wins the nomination and it's narrowed down to her and McCain or whoever wins the Republican, I believe she'll get at least 65%.
If she's up against McCain, I think, you know, he is such a lunatic that maybe she can win even in spite of the fact of her high negatives. But she's got a lot of things that she's got to deal with. For some reason, people hate her.
Mark this down. She's going to win the presidency by the widest margin in the history of America.
Well, Michael, you write that down. You send that to me, and we're gonna call you on it, Michael. Thinks it. Okay, what do you think? Is he right about that? 349-1320, 866, 626-1320, and Dick Cheney. I like my line. asses of evil. That would be this administration, the asses of evil. Eddie in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Enid. You know, I'm not going to deny that Hillary probably would be a great president, but if her niggas were that high, she could not withstand the gruelingness of a presidential campaign. It's all about negative campaigning. That's what wins. That's what gets people out. That's what changes people's minds.
You were right about that. It is. You're absolutely right. Look at how they swift-voted John Kerry. How is she going
right.
to... I mean, you know, just think about what they're going to drag up about Bill and Monica. It's like it's ancient history, and it's going to get dragged right through. She's going to get dragged right through the mud again.
If she's starting that far down, she has... Even if she could increase her positive, it still would not get her out of that hole. And the other thing to consider is that if we did elect her, that would mean that for about a quarter century, this country can only look to two different families to be our leaders.
28 years of it. Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush, Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush. You got that right, Eddie. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. Brian in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brian.
Enid, you know I was trying to not call, but I had to call after that last guy. Okay, check it out. He's underestimating America's need for change. We don't want to go backwards. We want to do something new. We don't want to, I mean, God bless Hillary and all her money. But no, we want something new, and we don't want a lightning rod that could cost us the election. No way. No,
so
Hillary,
who do
no
we,
way.
So, Brian, who do we want?
We want Edwards and Obama, of course.
Okay, Brian, vote noted. 349-1320, Byron and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Byron.
Hi, thanks very much. Now, I have to agree with your last caller. I mean, there are a lot of Democrats that are not happy with Hillary for lots of reasons, and not the least of them is Iraq. And her constant, in this sort of triangulating to always go to the center, that worked for Bill, but that was a real different political reality and a different situation in the country at that time. And we need really strong leadership right now, and she seems to constantly move to the middle rather than lead on anything.
I know, and if you're a woman,
Democrats unhappy.
You know, here's the other thing. Context is, it means a lot. If you are a man and you move to the center, you are viewed in one way. If you're a woman who moves to the center, you might be viewed as weak. So it doesn't work the same way. It doesn't work equally the same way. So
perhaps,
I think
I think that's overrated a little bit. I mean, you hear that a lot. Well, we can't have a woman president, whatever. I mean, you think back to when Reagan was president. If Maggie Thatcher had been an American and had been running as a presidential candidate after Reagan, the Republicans probably would have elected her.
I don't know about that.
There's no problem with her being a strong woman.
Yeah, but wait a minute. It's great in England because they like their nannies, but not here. It scares men terribly to have women like Maggie Thatcher in this country. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Byron, who was stronger growing up, when you were growing up, your mom or your dad? Who ruled the roost at home?
I didn't quite hear all of that. Who ruled the roost in my house?
In your house when you were growing up, your mom or your dad?
I think my dad, but not by a lot. Pretty close to equal.
Because in a lot of our homes, it was a mom who ruled the roost, and she wore the general's hat, and I'm telling you that nothing scares men more than that. Byron, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, Jim in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Yes, I just want to make a comment in regards to Hillary's negatives.
Yes.
I'm a conservative, disappointed in Bush, but when I look at the Clintons, they're kind of, you meet people, for example, and once you get to know them, there's something they're not. And I think one of the things about them, in my opinion, is they're kind of like what I would call phonies. They kind of really have this facade about them, and they are whatever they need to be to accomplish whatever they accomplish.
Okay, so what do you think about Hillary?
I don't think Hillary's a bad person. I don't think Bill's a bad person. I think they have an agenda, and I think they've through their lifetime kind of worked the system, the political system. And
don't you think Bush Cheney have an agenda working the political system?
Well, I think it was more personal for them as far as wanting to be in the White House, wanting to have the power, fly around in the jet, that type of thing. I'm not saying that they don't have issues and they don't have beliefs, but I think the problem with a lot of conservatives is they look at the Clintons and they want more than that. They want people with those beliefs, but that also aren't those kind of people that are transparent or
So you're saying that they're phony. So who would you vote for, very quickly?
Who would I vote for?
Yes, for president.
Right now I'm undecided, and I'll be quite frank with you. I'm not excited about what the Republicans.
The Republicans don't have anybody interesting. If you were on the other side, who would you vote for?
If I was on the other side?
Yeah, because you go for...
I kind of like Bill Richardson.
Okay, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Well, thank you, Enid. It is 552. A couple of incidents involving cars and pedestrians to tell you about. We have a hit and run being reported northbound 5. That's North Sacramento, just north of eastbound 80. And another hit and run. No injuries reported in this one. Bell Road at 49. Your updated forecast could have some areas of frost tonight. Low 32. Friday, high clouds. Temperatures not too bad for this time of the year. In the upper 50s to lower 60s, maybe a little bit cooler. And a few more clouds Saturday and Sunday. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and more of your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ever wonder why...
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, we're talking about Hillary's numbers, and they are coming in on a new survey from Time Magazine. And she, her numbers are double Barack Obama's, but her negatives are so high that he winds up actually being ahead of her. 349-1320, what are your thoughts about that? Janice in Grass Valley, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm going to shock you. You may not want to talk to me now. I want to get back to what the gentleman who had grown up in San Dimas was alluding to, I think. I only caught part of it.
Habeas corpus.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I think what he's saying, I believe my guess is, from what I could gather, he was African-American. And he was saying, hey, this is what we have been living with. Suddenly, we white baby boomers are getting a taste of what it was like to be blacks in Mississippi. We're getting a taste of what the Jews who woke up in Austria and Hungary and Germany when their citizens' rights were stripped away. We don't have habeas corpus according to our government. Our government doesn't feel that we are valuable, we are disposable, we are in the way. Just let them suck all the marrow out of us. We'll go and die for them, for their oil, for their friends over in Saudi Arabia, and they don't care any more about us than the KKK cared for the Catholics in the 20s and 30s, than the Nazis cared for the Jews, and that blacks were cared for by...
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. What would Henry Ford say?
In its 103-year history, America's oldest automaker has never had a worse year.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports the automaker is awash in red ink.
Ford lost $12.7 billion in 2006 after sales plummeted 8%. But the biggest cost was laying off nearly half of its hourly workforce.
I haven't really thought about that last stroll out the door. That's going to be probably very difficult.
Steve Brawl, whose father and grandfather also worked for Ford, today accepted the company's buyout offer.
There was a lot of anxiety as to what's life going to be like as we move to a new state, a new job, basically a new beginning.
38,000 hourly workers have agreed to the buyout under Ford's restructuring plan. Another 14,000 white-collar workers are also expected to leave.
Ford says it expects to post losses for the next 2 years, but investors seem to think the worst is over. Ford shares rose 2 cents today, closing at 8.22. High interest rates, penalties, fees, and terms that seem calculated to trip you up. Credit card practices took a beating on Capitol Hill today. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports on a Senate Banking Committee hearing.
Chairman Chris Dodd says many Americans are struggling with their plastic.
The average household has more than $9,300 of credit card debt.
John Finneran of Capital One defended the industry.
Interest rates have come down significantly for the majority of consumers, and most pay no annual fees.
But Travis Plunkett of the Consumer Federation of America says credit card companies take advantage of the most vulnerable.
Unjustifiable fees, the highly questionable interest rates, and the abusive lending practices.
And need to be better regulated. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
43 years after two black teenagers were killed in Mississippi, a reputed Ku Klux Klansman was arraigned today. 71-year-old James Seal pleaded not guilty. In Washington, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said the case serves as a warning to others who committed racial crimes.
We will pursue you as long as it takes and as long as the law allows. Whenever it comes, justice is always welcomed.
Originally, the FBI turned the case over to local authorities. Prompted by one victim's brother, the Justice Department decided to take a fresh look 7 years ago. Lake effect snow caused a whiteout on Interstate 90 in Erie, Pennsylvania. John Shumway of CBS television affiliate KDKA reports there was a chain reaction collision involving dozens of cars and trucks.
Tractor trailers were trying to swerve around cars. Several of them went through the median and hit vehicles coming the opposite direction on Interstate 90. One tractor trailer was just decimated in the front, and amazingly, the driver walked away. But there was one man who was trapped in between two of the trucks and was killed.
The road was closed for hours. The Dow down 119 points today. This is CBS News.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? It doesn't have to. The answer is Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
What does your U.S. senator do all day? Constituents of one senator have a better idea than most Americans. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
He's new to the U.S. Senate and seems to be the only member putting his entire daily schedule on his official website. John Tester, Democrat from Montana, calls it transparency.
Help people back home. Montana's a long ways away from Washington, D.C. Let them know what we're up to.
Sometimes it says dinner with his wife or an hour in the Senate gym.
Well, I mean, that's all part of a day's work, right?
Tester said he couldn't promise this phone interview would make it onto the website. That depends on his scheduler and his webmaster. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
In this country, we have pictures of missing children on milk cartons. In the British Isles, they have pictures of Welsh dairy farmers. They're all single and available. Under the caption, Fancy a Farmer, there's a website for replies. One farmer says the dating scene's not easy, especially when you have to wake up at 5 in the morning to milk the cows. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. 3 to 7 right here on AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation. It's easy to do, and the conversation is a better one when you join it. It's 349-1320 is the number. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Both numbers are completely toll-free. 866-626-1320. If you're just joining us, we've been all over the place today. We've been talking about how the Cheney family benefits from us staying longer in Iraq, how their shares of Halliburton and Lockheed Martin have gone up astronomically, how the daughter, Liz, who wrote the op-ed piece in the Washington Post, actually is in charge of a little branch of Middle Eastern affairs, which is, turns out to be a slush fund from some very questionable, for some very questionable activity to do with Syria and Iran, and how she doesn't have very much in the way of credentials. And this is, she's asking for everybody else to sacrifice. The Cheney family has done nothing but clean up as long as we have been in Iraq, and none of these other activities that they're engaged in have been very much disclosed. We've been also talking about Alberto Gonzalez arguing preposterously that the Constitution does not expressly grant a guarantee of habeas corpus. We've been talking about Hillary's numbers, which are twice as high as Barack Obama's, but her negatives are so high he actually winds up ahead of her. I mean, we have been talking about a lot of different things. We've been talking about the Scooter Libby trial. The testimony today did not go his way, and it may be that if we're lucky, maybe it'll all lead back to Dick Cheney, and he doesn't get to be vice president anymore. So if we impeach Dickie, guess what? It's Nancy Pelosi, I think. Well, they'll probably appoint some other vice president. Wouldn't that be just too delicious? Many of you know that I'm the last person in the universe who does not have a cell phone. And the reason I don't, well, there are a lot of reasons that I don't. First of all, it's like being an electronic monitoring device, really. But there is low-level radiation. And everybody wants to think that it's really safe to use a cell phone. And I share with you a story that one of my friends sent me of a hard-boiled egg, two cell phones, one on either side of it, talking to each other. And by 60 or 65 minutes, the egg was hard-boiled. It was just a plain raw egg. It took 60 or 65 minutes of cell phone on either side to hard-boil that egg. We know that cell phones can explode and turn on fire in your pocket. We know that. And now, from Europe, I think from England, comes this information. So you're not going to hear it in this country. I think the jury is still out. But I think you'd be smart to err on the side of caution. So cell phones are so seductive and so easy to use. And we like to walk around. We like to walk and talk at the same time. And parents feel very more comfortable when their kids have cell phones so that the parents can get in touch with the kids at any time. But little bodies are still developing and brains are still developing, and this is coming out of England. So here it is. Long-term users of mobile phones, cell phones, are significantly more likely to develop a certain type of brain tumor on the side of the head where they hold their handsets, and this is according to new research. A large-scale study found that those who had regularly used cell phones for longer than 10 years, or in England they're called mobile phones, were almost 40%. If you've used your mobile phone for more than 10 years, you would, in the study, have been almost 40% more likely to develop nervous system tumors called gliomas near where people hold their phones. The new research is going to be published later this year in the International Journal of Cancer. It is the second study to suggest increased risks of specific types of brain tumors in regions close to where mobile phone emissions enter the head. There are other studies, however, that have found no increased health risks associated with mobile phone use. But there is a question about it. Lewis Lesson, the editor of Microwave News, a U.S. newsletter on radiation and health, that reported the new study, said, "We now have two tumor types found among people who use mobiles for more than 10 years, shown by two different research groups. This is compelling evidence." So, you know, we don't know for sure. It's not the most perky of news. If you're going to use your mobile phone, your cell phone, that's nice. It's nice to have it, particularly nice to have it in an emergency. But if I were you, I would think about the cost-to-benefit ratio of using a cell phone. Because if it's not worth it, if you're just yakking away, do you want to make yourself more vulnerable to the radiation, to the health risks that could be associated, to the possibility of a tumor? You think about it. I always say to friends when they say, "Oh, well, you don't have a cell phone," I said, "Well, you know, unless you're calling to tell me I win the lotto, it can wait till I get home. Or can wait till I get to the office, or can wait till I get to a landline. I must be the last person in the universe with a landline." Your comments, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Also, they are finding a correlation. A goddess likes to share health news with you. Poor oral health. I'm a big believer in good oral health. But there is some link, because they're finding out that a lot of disease comes in through your gums, that there is a link now to poor oral health and deadly pancreatic cancer. So, you know, what did your mom tell you? Brush, floss, get your teeth professionally cleaned as often as you can every year. Take care of them. Take care of your gums, because there are these correlations. They think that some heart disease happens through your gums, that a lot of stuff, a disease comes in through your gums. So if your gums are healthy, it'll fight off the disease, essentially. Anybody who's a dentist or a periodontist or something and wants to comment on these issues, I'd love to hear from you. 349-1320. And here's spice, curry, an ingredient. I don't know if it's turmeric or turmeric, but it's an ingredient in curry. Apparently, they've been studying it for quite a while, and it shows promise for treating Alzheimer's, cancer, and other diseases. And actually, it tastes pretty good, so turmeric or curry, it's an ingredient in curry. So those are things that you might want to consider when you're here's my mantra. Two parts to my mantra. A, why make your beneficiaries happy? And B, we want to outlive our enemies. Dan in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Enid. I'm just wondering, did your phones light up when you asked everybody to call after talking about the cell phone cancer?
Well, you know, we like those cell phone calls to the show, but I feel like I have a public responsibility here to alert everybody that it's not as benign as cell phones are not as benign as they look, and there is a price to pay, and your computer monitor is also putting out radiation, so stay at arm's length away from it.
Yeah, I just pretty much can't get away from it with all the electronics we have now. Anyway, I just wanted to see if your phones lit up after you asked everybody to call.
There you go. Bye-bye. Thank you. 349-1320. Okay. There's a lot of flap going on about Dakota Fanning. She's in a new film that was shown at Sundance. It doesn't have a distributor yet. And in it, it's a scene that lasts about a minute or less. She is raped. She's 12 years old, and it is disturbing to people. Of course, it's just acting. She really is not raped. But it's very disturbing to people. And I was thinking about this. I know people are talking about it, but I'm thinking about it from a different point of view, and stay with me here. Dakota Fanning, it was just reported not very long ago about her, that she has been the muse for a designer, and I think the designer, a fancy designer named Marc Jacobs. And everybody was outraged that this 12-year-old is somehow the muse for this designer of women's clothing. I think, and we are also, now, you know, one of the things I love to do is I love to look a lot of different things and connect the dots. So indulge me for a moment. So here's Dakota Fanning working backwards. She's in a movie where there's a rape scene of her that lasts less than a minute but has gotten a lot of attention. The movie doesn't yet have a distributor. Then, before that, she is the muse, in other words, the inspiration for women's clothing designer Marc Jacobs. I think it was Marc Jacobs, who, you know, is designing for her. Well, she's a 12-year-old. Women don't look like her. Grown women have curves and sometimes too many of them, but they don't look like they're 12-year-olds, except if you're a fashion model. And then the issue is that you might look like, what's her name, Lara Flynn Boyle. I mean, she's all sticks, or Calista Flockhart. And these people don't even look like they are toothpicks. They look like they look, you know, like Ann Coulter. They look like they would snap in half. They look almost anorexic. They kind of look like concentration camp survivors. They look odd. And now there is a push on all these designer runways to do away with this anorexic look, because some models have died by having an eating disorder, and they think they're too fat, even though they look like they are concentration camp survivors. And it's very interesting to me that the fatter we become, the more obese, and we know that obesity is a huge health problem in this country, in a lot of westernized countries. But the more obese we become, in reality, the skinnier the models are, until finally now there are countries like Spain and Italy that are signing pledges that they're not going to allow models that are too skinny to be on the runways because they are poor role models for young teenage girls. And then let me throw this into the mix. So the fatter we are, notice, the skinnier the models are on the runway. You may want to make something of that. And the more women have come to threaten men, the younger these muses become, so that you have now a 12-year-old who is an inspiration to a grown-up women's clothing designer, and also doing a rape scene in a movie. It's acting. She's not really being raped, but it's disturbing. And in part, it's disturbing, I think, because we are also very fixated on the issue of kiddie porn. Now, what do you make of all these things that don't look like they belong together? The kiddie porn issue. Well, the kiddie porn issue. And remember now, Alberto Gonzalez, a man you would think would be too busy trying to smack down habeas corpus or pull your weed out of your medical marijuana garden, has gone after kiddie pornographers. We would think he would have too much on his plate with actual terrorism, but this is an administration that likes to terrorize its citizens. And so kiddie porn has been a huge issue, and if you mention it, people go ballistic. And I'm thinking that the reason this business with Dakota Fanning is, there's some kiddie porn component here, in that what I think women have become so strong women have become so scary to the society, kind of women like Hillary maybe, that everybody's going younger and younger and younger to these Dakota Fanning 12-year-olds, you know. And, of course, we don't want to admit that that's what's happening because it's so unthreatening and so horrible even to contemplate. So we are horrified by it, and we're even, you know, pressed down harder on people. But we sexualize everything and everybody so that kids know more at 12 than, you know, the rest of us knew at 21, I think. And the odd thing is about sexuality in this country is we don't have a handle on it. We either, you know, we're either into sexual anorexia or sexual excess. And really the truth would be in between somewhere. We use sex to sell everything, but you are not allowed to buy it legally unless you live in a few counties in Nevada. So there's a picture here to this Dakota Fanning thing that is more than simply disturbing quality of a 12-year-old participating in a rape scene. It is acting. It is an ersatz rape scene. But still, it's very disturbing, apparently. I have not seen the film. And she's defending it by saying acting is acting. And, of course, she's getting a ton of publicity out of it. But what does it mean that she is the inspiration for a women's clothing designer when the inspiration on our runways weighs 60 pounds, you know, and countries have to sign pledges that people too skinny and anorexic looking are not going to be allowed to model at a time when we are fatter than ever? I mean, it's almost like the pendulum swinging completely in the other direction. And this disturbing sense of kiddie porn when we have helped, I really think, to sexualize everybody and young kids because that's how we sell you everything. I know. What are your thoughts about this? Because it paints really kind of a disturbing picture where we're all a little bit complicit. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. Let's head over to the phones. Phyllis calling from SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Enid. Great topics tonight.
Thank you.
I want to address cell phones.
Yes.
And I hope everybody has a pencil ready, and you will as well. Dr. George Carlo. I attended a lecture in Victoria, British Columbia this last summer, and he was the top scientist chosen by the telecommunications industry. In a nutshell, you can look it up and look up safewireless.org, and there is a DVD coming out documentary, and they can...
What did he have to say?
Well, in a nutshell, there was no science to support that it was safe, and the FDA gave it a provisional approval based upon studies afterward. George Carlo was the head scientist on this. After they gathered it, the telecommunications didn't want it. So basically, they've done a cover-up. But here's
so in other words, they retained him to do this research, and then when it didn't come out their way, they didn't know him. They never met him before.
Just like the tobacco industry. But here's something very, very significant. Presently, there are 7 class action suits in the process of litigation. There has already been in the United States 1 case that didn't get settled that was proven just exactly what you read. The tumor related directly to the radiation in the cell phones. That's why I don't have a cell phone. I haven't had a cell phone.
You know, here's the question, though, that I don't have an answer for. And I've heard, you know, even though you don't have a cell phone and I don't have a cell phone, are we the beneficiaries of everybody who's standing around us that are talking on cell phones?
What I am doing now is...
Now, I know a lot of people are laughing at us and they think we're wearing tinfoil hats, but I'm telling you that I studied this issue, and the reason I did is when I was living on a houseboat in Sausalito, they wanted to install, and this was a few years ago, they wanted to install a cell phone antenna right at the end of the dock where there was a little bit of a school for nursery school kids. And we got the county of Marin to actually to cite these things so they wouldn't be near hospitals, daycare, schools, and et cetera. We were pretty successful, and we went up against these big deal providers to do that. And it was at that time when we were doing the research that we found out, much to our dismay and chagrin, and you don't see it reported anywhere,
there were
some real health issues involved.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and Marin has a lot to be proud of for doing it. But guess what? The state of California passed a law that no community can stop any installation for health.
It isn't the state of California. It's a I think that's a federal law,
right.
And the telecom providers got that passed. And even if your town, and Tiburon, I think, was an example in Marin County, even if your town doesn't want it, you got to do it.
Okay, here's something else that's really scary, and this is all factual. Like you, I do my homework and I do research, okay? All right. When the precedent was proven with science that was irrefutable, and it's the exact tumor that you were describing earlier, all the insurance companies carrying liability insurance for all the telecommunications cell phones all lapsed them. They dropped them. So all these companies don't have liability insurance. There are seven...
So if you sue, if you sue these big providers, Phyllis, if you sue them,
let me tell you why they don't need.
Wait, Phyllis. If you sue them, they don't have liability insurance to cover the suit.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Okay, there's two main reasons. One, nobody will insure them. I mean, would you? Of course not. Number two, the FDA approved it, and the government are involved in this.
I know.
So they don't want to stand.
I know, and the standards they're using.
It's like holding the breath. The scientists who know about this are holding their breath because when those class action suits make it, and it will one day, it's going to be worse than the SNL scandal because it not only is going to affect the United States, and also here's another thing, 40% of all pensions plans are involved in telecommunications. So the companies are out there, they know damn good and well that there are these problems, but they're just making the money and making the money and making the money, okay?
But I'll tell you what, we're going to have to leave it there. But the science is not completely in, but there are some really troubling questions, and some of the European science, the Scandinavian science, lead us to those questions. I don't think a lot of research is being done in this country, but in Europe and in Scandinavia, yes.
It's been done.
Yeah, but lately, I don't think they're doing a lot.
It hasn't been in mainstream and something else. When people get a cell phone, within 30 seconds, there's a radius of, I should say, a diameter about the size of a dinner dish. So you imagine the circumference of a dinner dish. When you put it to your head, within 30 seconds, the radiation goes across your whole head. And it's affecting children. I mean, we could go on and on. But I'm so glad you brought it up.
But you know what? Everyone thinks, Phyllis, we're going to leave it there. And I thank you very much for the call, but I think everyone thinks we're wearing tinfoil hats. So just be careful. You know, they're great to have, and just don't use them all the time. Use them when it's really cost-to-benefit ratio, when it's worth it. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, 349-1320. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
And don't worry, we have two cans and a piece of string for you and that caller, Ina. time right now. Now is 625, non-injury collision, westbound 50, just east of northbound Watt Avenue. We also have a hit and run. We've had several of these so far this afternoon and this evening. This one's southbound 5 at West El Camino Avenue. Your updated forecast, 34 tonight, up to around 60 on Friday with mostly sunny skies. Right now, 59 degrees in South Sacramento. I'm Dan Mitchinson, more Enid Live, and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
There new rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one, enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 on AM 1320 KCTC. Guess who's endorsing Hillary Clinton in the presidential race? None other than Elizabeth Taylor. She says I have contributed to Senator Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign because she has a mind of her own and a very strong one at that. I like the way she thinks. She is very savvy, smart leader with years of experience in government, diplomacy, and politics. Liz Taylor has contributed $2,100 to Hillary's campaign, which is the legal limit an individual can give in a primary campaign. Earlier, Taylor had given $100,000. It was reported that Taylor had given $100,000, but that was incorrect. $2,100. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. We're talking about cell phones. We're talking also about Dakota Fanning, who says that how many 12-year-olds act out a rape scene. Brooke Shields did the same thing, and she got a lot of negative heat for it. But I really think, and I'm really amazed at these these high-level executives that get caught in the propositioning what they think are 12-year-old girls, who always turn out to be 45-year-old male FBI agents. I mean, there is something, I think real women with real curves have become too threatening to a lot of men, so everybody's going younger and younger and younger until you have a guy like Marc Jacobs, who's using a 12-year-old as his inspiration and muse for a designer collection for adult women. I mean, this is there's something that's going on here. And the fatter we become, the skinnier the runway models are until they're like toothpicks. You may want to comment. Also, there are some gay sheep, and I have to get to the gay sheep story. But we're talking about cell phones, and I don't think that the science is completely in on the safety of cell phones. And I think it's good to err on the side of caution. So if you're going to use a cell phone, which everybody's glued to their sides of their heads, do it, you know, when you really need to, not just because you're strolling and you're bored at some store or at the mall or at the grocery store. And you need company. Sandra in Antelope. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Sandra.
Because of those concerns, I elected to get a speakerphone, and then I obtained a Bluetooth one that has a portable speaker that you can put up on the visor.
Well, I see people. I see people with the Bluetooth plugged into their heads. And how do those things work? I don't know how that works, but it looks like it doesn't look real healthy to me.
Well, I agree, which is why I don't have one of those devices. I elect to just speak into my hand, or if I'm in the car, speak into the little device that I'm speaking to you.
You know, when people, it used to be that when people were speaking into their hand, and our president, of course, is having a conversation with his molars and thinking that God is talking to him, that it was considered a little bit, that you would be considered mentally challenged. That you would be hearing voices. You know, you walk down the street now, people are talking to themselves. It's hard to know who's got problems with hearing voices and who is actually hearing voices.
But at least I have the defense that I've got a handheld speakerphone in my hand.
Well, so maybe schizophrenics do too. They have something that they hold in their hands and they pretend like they're talking into it. I don't know.
And I think we all are probably, after living in a society with the world affairs and the politics are a bit schizophrenic.
Yeah. All right, so Sandra, thank you very much. So it sounds like you're playing it safe, which is a good idea. 349-1320. And you know what? Here's the other thing. I don't think you should be able to drive and talk on the cell phone at the same time. Every time I see somebody near me who's on a phone and driving, I really give them a wide berth because I know they're not paying full attention. I know that that's an issue. It's like, and the accident rates are like drunk driving. Okay, here it is. There are gay sheep. I'm not making that up. I don't mean the people who voted for your president. No, not those kind of sheep. There are actual sheep. And they are using sheep for a study of homosexual behavior. This is true. And they find that like about 8% of them are gay. And they don't, and they're trying to find out why. So, of course, the English, they are so funny. They've got all these headlines. Listen to one of the headlines. He's just not that into you. E-W. E-W. He's just not that into you. So, anyway, about 8% of rams would prefer to have sex with other rams instead of with yous. So, would you like to comment about this? Well, I think this is really interesting, and there's a lot of controversy about this because, well, all right, the news coverage, which of course has been heaviest in England and Australia, focused on smirk and titillation and, of course, puns. You turn for gay rams on hormone. He's just not that into you. But it looked like they were going to be coming under some criticism from the gay community, and PETA is really against the research here because they are against controlling or altering sexual orientation, which they think was a natural implication of the work that the scientist was doing. But it sounds to me like the scientist is only trying to find out why 8% of rams like ewes, even though he might not be that much into you. So I think that's a pretty interesting study. Why do some rams like other rams and they don't like, lady sheep, otherwise known as ewes? You may want to comment. 349-1320, 866, 620-61320. And if you can think of a better headline, you know where you can call. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
Thank you, Enid. It is 636. Couple of collisions to tell you about. Northbound 99 at Twin Cities Road. This is in South Sacramento. We have a collision just reported. No further details. Another non-injury collision. This one slowing traffic down. Southbound 99. This is just north of eastbound 47th Avenue. Your updated forecast. Sunshine. Tomorrow looks like we'll hit a high right around 60 degrees in Sacramento. An overnight low of 34. And then a little bit cooler on Saturday and Sunday with highs only in the mid to upper 50s and a few more clouds, maybe a couple of sprinkles on Sunday. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More Enid Live and your calls coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Yeah. Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
For love and roll.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule. Stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life. Me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready? New rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
All the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and you can join the conversation, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about a lot of different things. We're adding to the conversation. We're talking about Hillary and Obama's come out in favor of universal health care. And let me tell you what New York City is planning. New York City is planning an official city condom. So you know what? It'll be a small building when you turn it on, when you put it on, and then if it does the job, it'll turn into a skyscraper. Anyway, I don't know what they're going to put on it. Maybe City Hall or a map or I don't know. But anyway, New York City is handing out 1.5 million free condoms a month in ordinary wrappers, and health officials figure people would be more likely to actually use them if the packaging were more distinctive. So I think, you know, you put a little message on the side of the condom, and then as it's in use, the message expands. Your thoughts about this? 349-1320. What would the message for Sacramento be? Hit and run capital of California. What would it say on the side of the condoms if we were distributing them in Sacramento? Put on your thinking cap. I want to share this with you. Dick Durbin, who is Senate Majority Whip, Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, has called Dick Cheney delusional. He says he's delusional about what's happening in Iraq because he's telling everybody that it's going ever so well. See, they never believe what they say. These people are snake oil salesmen. They think that we believe it. They never believed it, but they pretend that they believe it. And here, people finally calling him out, like Dick Durbin, 349-1320. We're talking about some research from Europe that talks about the tumors that can occur from cell phone use. It is the second such study, so I think you have to start taking this stuff seriously. We don't know for sure, but I think it's always a good thing to err on the side of caution. So moi, your goddess, is still the last person in the universe who does not have a cell phone. And you know, I think the only time I really think about having one is when I'm on the road. That would be a good thing to do, is to have a cell phone when you're on the road, and if you're on the road by yourself, that's probably a very good thing. But other than that, I don't know. We lived quite nicely without cell phones. It's nice not to have what amounts to an electronic monitoring device on your, you know, it's like you're under house arrest. You're everybody's Martha Stewart now. 349-1320. People get mad at me when I talk about this. They just think I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. Well, okay, but I know a lot of people now who have been diagnosed with brain tumors and all kinds of stuff, and you never used to know people who had that stuff. So who knows? I mean, we really don't know. And you don't know about the cumulative effect of all this stuff. And if you're standing around it, are you in harm's way? It's like secondhand smoke, even though you're not using a cell phone yourself. One of the things that has found to portend high adult costs in just about every single category, whether it's crime costs, whether it's health costs. And remember, here's Barack Obama's line. This is where he's going to get attention. He hasn't come out in favor of universal health care in the U.S. And I think that's a good, thing to come out in favor of. We are in favor of it here. We're in favor of a single payer system. I wonder if he will be in favor of a single payer system. But what is the cause of these high adult costs, whether crime costs, health care costs? Do you know what it is, the correlation? Well, it turns out that children who grow up poor cost the economy $500 billion a year because they are less productive, because they earn less money, because they commit more crimes, and because they have more health-related expenses. And this is according to a new study that has just been released. So the high cost of childhood poverty to the U.S., you know, see, we like to pretend that we're all living either in a vacuum or a vacuum cleaner, and that we're not all connected to each other, but we are. And the thing that happens over there has an effect over here. So you live in your gated community, and you say, hey, you know what, not my problem, not my job, Mon. I'm over there. I'm in the gated community. Somebody's impoverished. We feel bad. I'll put a little money into the Salvation Army kettle here and there. I'll write a check once in a while, but you know, not my problem. Well, it is our problem because the poverty in one area affects the rest of us. So again, let me give you this information. Children who grow up poor cost the economy $500 billion a year because they are less productive, because they earn less money, because they commit more crimes, and because they have more health-related expenses. So I think this is one reason, even if you're not altruistic in nature, this is one reason why you want to think about equalizing, why you want to have a certain equality in this country. First of all, everybody's got a stake in it. If people don't get the education they need, they do become a drag on the society. If they don't get the education they need because they are too poor, they're not going to have their health care problems addressed properly in the timely fashion. And so here's what happens. Everybody walks into the emergency room and gets treated at the highest possible dollar cost, or they don't even bother to go into the emergency room, and it's a health crisis. You know, you conk out because you didn't have the proper treatment, and you conk out way too soon in life. So I wonder your thoughts on this. And also, I want to weigh in on a business story, and that is The Gap. I am intrigued to see these businesses that are run by people who have only failed in them. And Home Depot, that guy who walked out of there, I think walked out with, what is it, $34 million? The guy that was running United Health walked out with almost $1 billion. The guy that was running The Gap, and they have had three apparently lackluster Christmas seasons, he walked out with a $14 million payout. Gee, where can we sign up for these things? I am so sorry about The Gap. I think I might have been able to offer them some advice about that store. I always liked shopping at that store. And then there came a time when you had to be 12 years old, you had to be Dakota Fanning to look good in anything that they sold. And so I think it turned away a lot of their audience. And just this Christmas season, I found a bunch of stuff that I really liked. But it had been a long time since I was able to find anything that worked for me at The Gap. And this year I found a bunch of stuff. And the funny thing is that it got so bad there that this year really tipped them over. And now they're talking about a potential sale to, you know, get Goldman Sachs in there and sell The Gap and maybe bring up the share price and have some new ownership. And it used to be hip. But I think that hip in an interesting way in the beginning, in that you could get basics. I always liked getting basics there. They always had really great cotton turtleneck shirts that I liked a lot. They had things that you could use. And then you could use a kind of a basic wardrobe, and then you could embellish it with other stuff that you would buy maybe there or elsewhere. And then they walked away from that. And they went after a very, very young and very, very fickle teen audience. And, you know, Abercrombie and Fitch can do it. I think it's really hard if you are, if your share price is dependent on it. It is very, very hard to sustain that, I think. And in a story I was looking at, there's a picture of Sharon Stone, who, if you remember, at an Academy Awards ceremony a few years ago, was wearing a Gap shirt. And, of course, Sharon Stone would look good in anything, but it was a very wonderful fashion statement. She was wearing a shirt from The Gap and then this great skirt that was probably from some fancy designer. And this year they were using Audrey Hepburn, and that was a good look too. But I think it was too late for The Gap. I think a lot of people have written them off. They had not a very good Christmas season, and lucky for us as consumers, if you found something, they went into deep discounts even before Christmas occurred. So you didn't even have to wait for after the holiday for the sales to kick in, because they're really trying to goose the bottom line there. But, again, the guy who was in charge of The Gap, they let him go. The board issued essentially a no-confidence vote, rather like what happened with the Senate issuing a no-confidence vote of Dickey, these asses of evil. This president left. Our president we're still stuck with for a while longer. It'd be nice if Patrick Fitzgerald can put it to Dick Cheney, but we'll see. I'm sure it's too much to hope for. And in any event, rest in peace, The Gap. But I always liked, I really liked it, and I think they threw away something, something quite nice, a franchise that they really had. So now they're in trouble. But I'm intrigued by all these companies that are in trouble, and the CEOs that ran them into the ground walk out with these enormous payouts. You know, even Gary Pruitt at the Sacramento Bee. I mean, gosh, their revenues are down, their circulation is down. They had to sell the Minneapolis Star Tribune for a lot less, I think, than they paid for it, or they didn't get a great deal out of it. They paid the high price for it, and I don't think they sold it at a high price. And he's getting these seven-figure bonuses. You tell me how we can sign up for this. 349. When did competence in this country that really values, that knew how to do it right and that had so much energy, when did competence go down the tubes? So that we are becoming an incompetent place, I guess, if you look at these payouts for incompetent performance. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 KCTC with Dan Mitchinson.
6:52 right now, and as the commute winds down, things are beginning to quiet down this afternoon and this evening. Northbound 99 just north of Walnut Avenue, we do have a hit and run still being investigated. Updated forecast, it's going to be a little bit cool overnight. Look for a low right around 32 degrees, maybe some fog on the ride in tomorrow morning with Scott and Sims, and then up to 60 for our high in the afternoon with a few high clouds, increasing clouds, and a little bit cooler, though, on Saturday and Sunday. Right now, it is 57 degrees in downtown Sacramento. I'm Dan Mitchinson. More of Enid Live coming up next on AM 1320 KCTC.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast.
New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
6:55 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We've been talking about a lot of different things today. We've been talking about business. We've been talking about the president. We've been talking about Hillary. We've been talking about Obama. He trails Hillary. His numbers are about half as good as hers. Dick Cheney says that Hillary would not be a good president. I'm surprised he's saying that because you would think that he would try to goose along her candidacy because it will be red meat to the Republicans raising money. But when he was asked about her, he said in October he called her a formidable candidate who, quote, could win the race. But just recently he said she would not make a good leader. Ask why? Because she's a Democrat and I don't agree with her philosophically. And he doesn't agree with her policy positions. Asked whether she would be president, the vice president replied, "I don't think so," but he declined to predict the winner. So he doesn't think that she would be a good president, and he also doesn't think that she's going to win. But Barack Obama is striking the right note with universal health care. He's not talking about, I don't know yet know, whether it's single payer or whether it's not. Also, one of the things we've been looking at is the pulling out of these U.S. attorneys that the administration has named in places like San Diego and San Francisco and replacing these tough-minded, independent-minded prosecutors with political hacks. Well, the Democrats are on it, and Senate Democrats are apparently not dropping the issue of whether the administration is pushing out federal prosecutors. And we think that the reason that's happening is as the noose is tightening around this administration, they don't really want to have tough-minded prosecutors poking into their affairs. Senator Chuck Schumer is slated to lead a hearing before the Judiciary Committee on Feb 7 on the topic of preserving prosecutorial independence. Is the Department of Justice politicizing the hiring and firing of U.S. attorneys? Well, I think we know what the answer to that is. No witnesses have yet been